Okay.
I had it all scared, but, okay.
Ready?
The first time I didn't connect, now it's connected, but. Why don't we try to go ahead then?
Call to order the Board of Supervisors work session for March 19th, 2015, and the first item business here will be on the five-year road construction plan. We have staff here from our secondary roads and our engineer, and we do have several people here to talk specifically about the Amana Road, so we will kind of address that one as we get started here, and then they'll have the chance to have their input so we can move on from there. So, hey, Greg?
Yes, thank you. Good morning. Greg Parker, County Engineer. With us, we have Ed Bartels, Assistant County Engineer, Neil Shattuck, Assistant County Engineer. We have Kevin Braddock, Maintenance Superintendent. Rob, however, I think did it right. And then this is all, the second meeting is all because of the gas tax that was signed, and we're going to be presenting and reevaluating how we would recommend to you how those dollars may get expended. And Rob, he's down in South Florida, so it was the deposit was paid. He couldn't get out of it. You all know he really wanted to be here, but just to let you all know that Rob did put a lot of work into this, and as all of the staff in the department did. So.
And Mike and I, we drilled Rob pretty good. Was it last week? So.
Right. We held a very informative meeting with liaisons, Mike and Terrence. And
we believe in vacation, so he's not.
He's excused.
He's excused.
As long as he's wearing red.
Birthday was yesterday, too. So we were really giving him a hard time. But
said he's a Purdue guy, so.
He did graduate from Purdue, correct?
Yeah, so he's got his gold on in black.
Old gold.
Old gold.
We've spent several months chatting about the five-year road program, and with the governor signing the 10-cent gas tax increase, kind of through some additional conversations and needed discussions to chat about how those additional dollars are going to be expended. And one of the things I wanted to let you all know, because of ISAC last week, the DOT had kind of rolled out. Terrence, you forwarded the most recent numbers to us, which I think are in check with, we're looking at about $1 million of additional expenditures annually. They were initially thinking, because the bill was signed and it basically started collecting March 1. We were hoping to receive an initial infusion, which we receive these dollars on a monthly basis. And they're saying that our first infusion probably will not happen until after June 1st. Right now, that's kind of so.
But we will eventually get money for all these months, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. More complicated than I could understand it, but it actually, how the DOT's equation is and how they disperse the money is, it's going to take a couple months for them to get everything worked out. But the first financial infusion that we're going to get for the 12-month period will start. They're thinking more than likely June 1, maybe May, but they're more leaning on the June timeline. But after that, we should get monthly.
And so June will be a bigger payment, or they'll be like prorated across all the months, or you're not sure yet how that'll happen?
Right now, we just have estimates, and we haven't given us the impression that that'll be a bigger month, but it all will catch up as time goes, what they're telling us. So,
I just have that document pulled up. So I wonder, I could just read it so that then I can close this. It says the estimate is in FY16, so there's not an estimate for this year.
Right.
But we would have had...
If we...
3, 4, 5 months of it?
Well, March, April, May.
March, April, May, June.
Yeah, March, 4 months.
Yeah.
So probably about a third of this number, in theory.
Well, they...
Eventually.
There were lots of questions about, are we going to get the previous months? And they said it takes time for them to calculate what that is. And then they did not say that we were going to get a bigger check in June 1st, but that's when the dollars will start rolling out, and it could be May.
Okay.
But I'm, what is it, about 80,000, 85,000 a year is what we were calculating out,
so
I think it was.
So the secondary road fund is $887,788.
That's the estimate.
Farm to market, $270,345. And then our transfer for city populations under 500, which is Shoeyville, is 4,484. Total coming into the budget for FY16, 1.16 million. So in theory, while it may be behind, we should get a third of that number for this fiscal year right now.
Yeah,
we don't know.
All I'm doing is relying on what the DOT is telling me, Janelle, unfortunately. I agree with your comment. Yes, we should get the monies that started March 1st. And
yeah, there may be some extra dollars here for this existing fiscal year that hasn't been identified, other than it would go into our general roads funds.
Which we do need to, I mean, I know we want to get to Amana Road while we have people here, but... I'm actually for taking whatever comes in for this fiscal year and not coming up with a new project, propping up our reserves, and then deal with that a year from now, because we don't know when we're going to get it, and it's hard to say, okay, here's going to be a new $333,000. We can do a bridge. We had taken our reserves down to a little bit below our comfort level. I mean, right at our comfort level, but we wouldn't mind having a little more. And then, since we don't know when we'll start getting those payments, I think I would deal with this third of a year later. That's my...
Well, I'm kind of along the same lines, and I'm thinking, well, we really don't know when that new distribution dollars are actually going to come to us. And when do you normally get those checks off in a year?
Monthly.
Monthly.
It's a monthly disbursement that we receive.
Getting realized
it's
monthly.
Right.
So it's very well made.
Take the total amount divided by, you know, the 880. If you're looking at the local budget, you take that divided by 12. And there may be bigger months, there may be smaller months, but on the average, that's kind of what the number they're informing us we're going to be receiving.
Okay, we'll see when we
get. So I just wanted to recap that. I wanted to recap the gas, the signing of the gas tax increase, which I know that all of you worked really hard with the county engineer and the other entities to get that pushed through, and all of the engineers at this table and throughout the state, we appreciate all of your hard work to help get that approved and through, because I think we all know and agree that it was needed, and we greatly appreciate your emphasis at the state level, so thank you.
Okay.
Well, with that, I'll let Ed run through, and this is a reflection of what our conversations with our liaisons last week. So at any time, certainly if you have questions or have additional comments, or just break in, and I'll let Ed run with us.
Pat, what are we going to talk
about? Do you want to chat about Amana
first?
Well, yeah, I think you were going to talk about Amana Road here, and then and let the public speak so they can go. And
sure.
All right. Let me just go to that. I'll actually... Ed Bartels, Assistant County Engineer. I'm going to have Neil help me on this because this is kind of his project.
Yeah, Neil Shattuck, Assistant County Engineer.
Okay, so what we heard in one of our previous work sessions was we would like to have some more information. The board would wanted some more information about options to work on Amana Road. We had at least four is what we were identified the very first time, and we're supposed to come back and report to you on that during our next five-year planning cycle, not this one. One of the reasons being is we need some time to figure these out. So the four things that the board asked us for, at least that, that I wrote down, we'd like to look at a way of doing it right, raise the entire road out of the floodplain so that it, you know, is passable more parts of the year. That's going to be the most expensive option. Do something in between, raise some of it, but not all of it. Macadam base at the existing profile, which is kind of what we do on a lot of our gravel road regrades, or the do nothing, which is the obviously the least expensive, but it's certainly not no expense because
it would be regular maintenance.
We'll have to do maintenance, and there is a cost to doing nothing. That'll be a recurring theme. Current status, we've actually placed this on our future projects list per the instructions then, and we'll basically bring this back after we have more information to offer the board. I know Neil's been working on this. He's not supposed to spend any time or money on it, but he's supposed to design it anyway, and he's kind of working on
that. We didn't say time. We said money.
Oh, okay. Just don't spend any money. Okay. So I don't know.
It's always that catch.
Yeah.
Time is money.
I would just add that there needs to be a 3B, because after we do the macadam base, we would consider oiling it. Or we could just leave it at the macadam base. So,
and maybe for the
I would add a 3B there.
Probably for the good of the audience listening and those here. You want to explain what that macadam base means, or identify a road project or two we've done. Maybe they can drive down and take a look.
Well, right in the neighborhood, there's several.
Kevin, you want to run with this one, or you want me to?
Give a couple examples, so then residents can just drive down and you'll see what we mean by macadam base.
Yeah, I'm Macadam, Kevin Braddock, Superintendent, Secondary Road Department. We've done a few in the neighborhood. One most recent was on Greencastle Avenue, just south of 120th, where we come in and we'll put down a macadam stone. We basically essentially grind the road up, loosen what material's there, and put in a larger stone that's clean, doesn't have any fines in it. So what we hope from that and what it's supposed to do and what we are seeing it doing is filtering the moisture that gets into the road so you don't get the soft spots. It puts a good base underneath that wasn't ever there before when these roads were graded up 50, 60, 80 years ago. You know, there was just soil ditched up and there was no good heavy stone underneath. So we're putting 6-8 inches of the macadam stone in there, and then putting a choke stone on top, which is just your 3/4 inch road stone, and that's what we're doing. And then along with that, we're updating any structures, driveway pipes, any drainage issues that are out there that are creating maintenance problems. But Greencastle Avenue is one. Derby Avenue going on the east side of Fort County Quarry, and in that particular area.
So it might be worth going down, checking out. There's one thing to say this is what it is. It's the other thing of actually looking at these are projects that we call kind of middle ground. So it's not really the kind of thing we want to spend a lot of money on. I mean, it's still expensive, but it's nothing close to putting and widening and dealing with DNR and wetlands and all of the things. And that amount of road project would be pretty gigantic in regards to trying to mitigate and get out of a floodplain around that reservoir.
Right, and this may be a good opportunity, Neil, if you want to address the amount of road things that you're working on and the activities that you're proceeding with.
Sure, yeah. As Ed was saying, he kind of touched on our different kind of plans for different options that we're going to evaluate. It's our intent to kind of develop a couple different concept plans based on, it's adjacent to the reservoir, so the elevation of that water is going to have an impact on what different heights that we're going to raise the road to if we, in fact, do end up choosing an option that raises it. Like right now, as with other projects, before you get into the design phase and everything for it. We are evaluating if there are wetlands in the area, and we have a consultant who's evaluating those areas. They actually need the spring. They need to evaluate those areas in the growing seasons. So they can determine what plants and everything is out there to, so that they can complete the report. So we will look at things like that when we're putting together some different concepts so that we don't have to impact any of these wetlands if there are some out there. So yeah, that's kind of along with like this concept. It is our intent to also do some preliminary survey work this spring also. So it is still kind of ongoing, kind of gathering all our information that we need to prepare some good concepts for it.
Yeah, you talked about, I think when we talked earlier, you talked about the bridges. How many bridges are we talking about that might need to be raised or would have to be addressed in this?
Well, there's the one bridge just
what's that one?
To the west of Coos Falls. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that one's at an elevation. I guess that would be, I mean, obviously, if we decide to end up raising that, that's going to be a pretty significant increase in the cost to the project.
That one never floods over.
That one never does.
The next one down past the shooting range, that one floods.
West of the shooting range is where it all starts.
Okay.
The one right there before you get to Coos Falls, the water never gets that high.
We'll wait for the input, but when you do, you'll have to come to the mic and give your name for the auditor.
So, yeah, knowing that information, you know, that would maybe be a pretty logical elevation that we'd want to shoot for one of our concept plans so that we don't run into that added cost.
Can you hold just a second? Ed, the board wasn't provided this PowerPoint. So do you have it on a flash drive?
I do.
Yes. Can you save it to that computer and then hand Angie the flash drive?
Yes. So we can just put it on ours.
Oh. I'll have to restart things, but yeah, I can do that, I think.
So while Neil is talking, can you do that? We don't need that screen right while you're, just so you can get this done while.
Well, we can hear from.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's.
Let's open this up a little
let's
bit.
Just
yeah.
Let the gentleman.
Yeah, you're talking about that bridge?
That first bridge there?
You need to identify yourself for the other. So it's all talented. I'm sorry.
Robert Reinberg.
Okay.
I've lived out on the Manor Road 26 years. Years ago, that was all chip and sealed. Then they tore it up, but I got to keep it in front of my place while they tore it up. And I raised tack, and they says, well, we sent you a letter that we're going to tear it up. If you wanted to keep it, you had to maintain it yourself. I said, I received old letters. They sent it to Swisher instead of a Manna. So I've spent $7,000 out of my own pocket doing it in front of my house and maintaining it over these years. The bridge he's talked about never does get underwater. Maybe a little bit on the other side of it, from the bridge up to 965 never gets underwater. What gets underwater is around the shooting range, Green Castle, and the bridge beyond Green Castle. That usually gets underwater. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and usually you can see the amount of tree branches and everything else to pretty
well,
much.
Let's just show you.
I was just
going to
say we've got the 08 flood here. We can see it.
Yeah. So that I mean, the road's pretty much gone with when it gets inundated with water. So that and it comes back to that question of how much money do you put in to a road that's going to flood? I mean, that's always the issue versus at least making some improvement along the way. So,
Robert Reinberg again. When it was chip and sealed and the water went over it, Then when the water did go down, it hardly bothered that chip and sealed at all. The road held up pretty good, other than they'd have to move a few logs and twigs to push back and the sticks in the ditch and that. Now they spread gravel on it.
Sure. And so the process...
And a month later, the gravel's all pushed in the ditch anyway.
Right. So the process that we've been pursuing over the last couple of years now, because as you know, the Johnson County Board of Supervisors of 30 years ago pretty much tore up a lot of those chip seal surfaces. And so we're in the process of actually reincorporating those back into the system. And so we start with identifying that gravel surface. The next step is the macadam base. And then once that has been established, then the next investment is the chip seal. And so
At one time, there used to be a sign saying that was the scenic route going to the Manis everything.
Everyone uses,
There was a sign out there saying scenic.
But I'm saying now.
Oh, no, now the sign's down.
Yeah.
Who wants to drive it now?
No one wants to drive it now. Mm-hmm. It ain't maintained that great anyway, so damn rough you can't hardly set on it.
So the advantage of looking at the potential of an option like the macadam base at minimum is it does improve the surface, it gets it ready for a chip seal surface, and it's a project that we can do in-house versus going through what we call the 3Rs or ASHTO and a number of other regulations that get to a different level once we start having to create a much faster and bigger
question.
Road.
So, I mean, I've already got it done and my old money in front of my place. If they do decide to redo it, they're going to tear up mine, or can they use that, being it's a good solid base?
Well, so I think that's what we don't know. So I have a couple questions for staff. Because we don't know if we're going to put this above the floodplain, which we believe would be really, really expensive and probably out of our range. Slightly above, so we take care of a couple of structures, raise a couple of areas, but we know that parts of it would still go underwater. Or we come and we just start talking about a macadam base. So if you look at our proposed five-year road plan, we have a macadam base plan here for Blaine Cemetery Road of 0.6 miles, and we're budgeting $90,000. We've been talking about somewhere in the range of $150,000 to $200,000 per mile to do macadam base. Now, that's not oil. That's just rebuilding the base, which on a couple of roads, we've done that, and we may never come back and oil them. They're performing so well that, you know, we may never oil them. But if you take Greencastle to the north, we did the macadam base 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and last year we came in and we oiled it late in the season. So, it needed a little more hot weather, but later this summer we believe it will be a really hard surface. When we're talking about adding the oil, I'm trying to find an example here, what we think that will cost, because we're going to do
observatory,
right? Observatory, 9/10 for $100,000. So if you take $180,000 plus the $100,000, give or take, we're talking about around $280,000 per mile to go to macadam base and then oil, double seal coat. Now, those are estimates, and you're going to put every qualifier in the world under it. But we have to have kind of a dollar amount that we're talking about. That's if we don't raise it and we don't do anything with structures, which we know that is probably not what we're going to get back. So if you take from 965 to the county line, how many miles of roads are you talking?
Nine
miles. So you can take 9 times 300,000 is the cheapest way to improve the structure. And that's not necessarily what we'll choose to do, but I just wanted that out there.
Yeah, I mean, there's...
0.7 million.
I mean, there's a lot of... There's so many variables here. I mean, for one thing, I don't... Well, I'm sorry.
One thing you don't live on.
Remember...
Well, I mean, for one thing, we don't, sometimes you don't do the whole road. you know, sometimes you chip a part of it, or you do the macadam base up from one node to the other node. I mean, one thing that hasn't been talked about here at all is traffic counts. And, you know, at least for me, traffic counts matter a lot in terms of decision making. There's really a couple things that
you wouldn't drive that road.
You need to come to the mic and identify yourself if you're going to speak.
There's a couple things that I look at, and traffic counts and the condition of the road are the two primary ones. And so when we do this, we have to weigh this road against every other road in the county, what the traffic count is and what the condition is. And so, you know, it's a big job. There's 900 miles of road. This is nine of it.
Ingrid Schulte, I live on Amana Road. You wouldn't drive that road if you had any alternative. Have you ever really driven on that
road?
Yes,
I have, of course.
No.
What do you mean I've never driven on it? Of course I've driven on it.
I drive that road regularly. I think that's insulting to assume we don't drive
Greg has had the whole board
I don't live there,
it.
But...
Yeah, you don't... Yeah.
Greg's had the whole board on it a couple times in the last 3 years, drive it...
Have you ever thought about maybe just not doing anything with the 3 miles that go underwater, or the 2 miles? I'm not exactly sure what amount it is that does go underwater. But how about the rest of the road, the people who live on that road?
I think I just said we could consider a lot of different things. I frankly find it kind of insulting that you assume we haven't considered anything. We've got 900 and some miles of road. You're talking about nine of it. We'll deal with it the way we deal with it. It's got to be weighed against every other thing in the county. We've done an awful lot of work on roads right in that area. We put an awful lot of money into Derby, Greencastle.
Why those roads? We're a major artery.
Well, I think that it's the combination of, again, the condition of the roads, the traffic counts, professional opinions of our staff. I mean, that's what we go by.
You're not going to get a traffic
count. Your major artery is not held up by the counts.
Well, no.
What's the traffic count, just so we can put this to Ben?
They're all right here on the screen. They're kind of... The highest count is about 420. It drops off to 320, down to 190 most of the way.
So 420 just is not a major artery in Johnson County, just so you know.
You know, I moved out there in 1975, and there was a chip and seal road out there. And at the time, when we bought the farm that we were on, we asked about the road because we never wanted to live on a gravel road. And the Board of Supervisors themselves told me and my husband that that road would remain a chip and seal road because it was a farm-to-market scenic byway. Well, 3 years later, lo and behold, guess what? They came and tore it out. Never gave us a reason, never got a letter, and I've lived with that ever since.
Ingrid, I talk to you pretty regularly, and I think you wouldn't know me well enough to know that I've never lied to you. I've always been honest about where I was and where we were. I frankly can't be responsible for what supervisors in 1975 or 80 did.
I'm not saying you are. And
they're all dead.
I'm not blaming you, but I'm just saying.
I mean, Terrence was 5 years old. So
part of the reason I moved out there was because we were going to have a good road. But it's slowly, over the course of the last 30 years, deteriorated. Every year, it's deteriorated. Yeah. You guys don't even come out and maintain it hardly. And last year you put that dust control on, and then a week later you came out and you dumped gravel over it. Yeah. That didn't make sense to me.
Kevin, do you want to address
And I
what
paid for that. He,
you
he
address
already talked
what you
to me about that. He said that...
Well, I think that if you're going to put it on the record, Kevin deserves a right to say, explain why they did what they did. I mean...
Yeah. He told me that the dust control would come back with time, but you know what? It really didn't. We had dust in front of our house all summer long. And I paid for my section. I paid for a section from Ben and Stevens, 400 and some odd dollars, and there went my money. Gone.
Kevin, can you address kind of what happened there?
Well, I have one more question.
Just a second.
We provide dust control about 500 feet in front of each resident through there. I believe Ingrid adds to that a portion between your son's home and yours.
Yep.
So you fill the gap.
Yep.
So that's what she's referencing. That I believe that Sabonicon bought it. I remember that.
On her portion, the one that she paid for?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I have one more question. When you gave those row counts, is that all for 1 year, or what year was those low ones? Because 1 year you guys had the thing run out there across the road when the other end was across the water. I'm sure there wasn't much of a row count then.
We do those, or is that state?
It's DOT.
Which ones?
Okay. The map that we have in front of us now, those counts are accumulated by the Iowa Department of Transportation. They go around and they count all of our roads throughout, just from a history standpoint. And that is completed every 4 years. The 10 counts actually were counted in 2009, but we don't receive the counts until the summer of 2010. So, and that's the same thing that's happening to us now. We're getting them, well, let's see here. They counted 10, we get them 11. So we get them a year after they've already been completed, because the DOT has to go through a lot of calculations that run the counts. And when we talk about AADT, that is the average annual daily traffic count, which accounts for 365 days of traffic on that specific road. And there's a formula that the DOT uses with a factor that they set that is assigned to reflect the fact that in the summer or specific times of the year, you may get higher traffic counts, and sometimes of the year you may get lower traffic counts. So the formula they use and the factor that they include as part of the formula adjusts that number so that would reflect an average count over a year's period of time, 12 months of period of time. So that's kind of the history on the counts.
Was this in 2009, the reports you got now?
We've got
2009 on the traffic count is what I'm asking.
We've got traffic counts from every 4 years dating back to...
Those numbers right there from 2009, last summer's data is not available to us yet. We're expecting it within a couple of months.
What I'm saying, since they've redone the rifle range, they put out a skeet range, they got an archery range out here now, traffic's more and more picking up.
Well,
hunting season.
I understand.
Hunting season out there by my place, you think you're at the county fair. You can't even hardly drive down the road. They're parked on both sides.
We do not have $3 million to do it this year, so the project's not getting done this year no matter what. We've been instructed staff to prepare us some possibilities. By the time we even start talking about this, we're going to have the new traffic counts. And that will drive a lot of the discussion. We will be using the most current data. We're using the most current data now, but even if we had the new numbers, this project can't be funded this year. There's not enough money there. So we will have the new data sometime this summer when we sit down to talk about this again in the fall. You know, staff is going to come in with a plan for us, those options.
Well,
and then we are going to choose one in what year.
Will the people that live on that road be notified of that type of meeting or not? This will be brought in front of you. It's the latest
figures. We do not notify everybody of every meeting. We put an agenda out every time. You're welcome to call in and ask when it's going to be, but
or
sign up for our email notification.
We have an email notification system for all of our meetings so that residents...
So how does the person go about that?
Go to johnson-county.com and you sign up.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Lots of people do, yeah.
Thank you very much,
sir. And you can sign up for secondary roads and others. I think the gist of this is that the conversation's happening now that hasn't happened for a very long time. And so I think it should be noted that having this conversation, having this on the list, is really the start of this process. And so, you know, providing direction and policy from the Board of Supervisors, asking staff for input, and then coming back with a set of potential recommendations is a very good sign that we've at least identified that this is, likely a project that we have some interest in doing. But as you know, money is money and all of those things, and it's just a matter of getting it going.
I think what
having this conversation
people stirred up is they heard that it's going to chip and seal it up to the gun range. Yeah. No residents live out there at all, but we won't take care of everything from Cedar Rapids that comes out there to shoot a gun.
I suppose there's lots of stories.
I don't think we've had that conversation at all.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, we haven't anything.
Sir, you need...
Okay, I'm Eric Schulte.
Hi, Eric.
And we're not here. We don't... We're simple people. You can tell. We don't know anything about how this process works or nothing.
Well, you wore just a little bit of red, so you're okay.
Okay.
What about the others?
Well, the question I have caught my attention.
They weren't here early enough to get the jokes.
Oh, yeah, it's St. Joseph's Day, so yeah.
We're not asking you to do this year. We're not asking you to do it next year. We're just asking for an honest answer. Something going to get done with this.
Yeah.
They haven't even cleaned the ditches out from flood of 08. They're solid logs. And I've called LL Pelling about the chip seal. They have one right in Johnson County off Black Diamond. It's Old Man's Creek Bridge Road, which is chip sealed, which goes underwater every year. And they said it's held up every year since they've done it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there's a need to spend money raising the road, do it right kind of thing. And also, how are we ever going to get the money in that budget when you guys keep robbing from it? You keep funded by former Amana Road project budget, $300,000. Let's keep stealing it from Amana Road. I know that there's been funding there before. So I've heard it said there was almost like the state gave money for it already.
Maybe what year was that thousand? Out? There was a projection at one point.
State's never given us money for
no.
it.
No, so there's no robbing of...
The Corps of Engineers... No,
remember, you need to be on the... Your comments will not be recorded unless you're on the microphone and identify yourself.
In 1950, when the Corps of Engineers built the reservoir, they gave the county cash to fund all the roads around the reservoir and what got flooded.
It was
For the rest of time. The county invested that money, and for years, the interest on that paid for rock in seal coating and everything else all around the reservoir. As interest rates went down and that money was just sitting there doing nothing, the Board of Supervisors 3 years ago elected to move that capital money to the Mahaffey Bridge in order to fund the $9.5 million Mahaffey Bridge project that we inherited from the Corps of Engineers. So 50 years ago, 40 years ago, it is true the county was given money for all the roads that were flooded, but that was money for the end of time. We do not get annual money, and that money is for every road around the reservoir, not just yours.
And it was $2 million in 1950.
I understand that, but, you know, we haven't seen any of it.
That's not true. We have annual expenditures on your road. I mean, see, this is what's frustrating to me is these statements, that's just not true. It may not be what you want, but it's not zero.
Well, I understand it's not zero, but
you just said it was.
It basically is because you put a budget in every year, and everyone gets the same zero. At least we got to plow it. At least we got to gravel it. At least we got to do this and that. That's basic requirements. That's like maintenance on a car. You have to do that. So that's a zero thing. The other ones are above and beyond. We pay double property tax we've been paying from 15 years ago, and all we have out there to benefit is that road. That's it. What else is there?
Well, Highway 965 saw it.
Yeah. I don't know what you mean by double property tax.
What's double property
our
tax?
Property, you keep valuing our properties more and more.
Yeah, we got a new assessment.
I understand, but we don't do that.
The property tax money goes into some of the road fund.
Sure, absolutely.
But
you can't make a statement without allowing me to answer your question. And that is that if you took your property tax bill, what your property is valued at has nothing to do with us. Property values in Johnson County are going up. You'll know that when you go to sell your property versus when you bought it. We have zero to do with that. Then you have a rollback that, as agriculture property, frankly, has been hosing homeowners. Your rollback has been disfavoring you. We have nothing to do with that. And recently, the legislature and the governor gave a commercial property tax, huge cut to commercial properties and multifamily housing. We have zero to do with that. And then if you take all of that and you take your property tax bill, you will have your school district in there, which will we can prove it to you how much they take from it. And then you will have your county taxes, the county-wide that you pay for every service in the county, and then the part you pay for being an unincorporated resident. The unincorporated resident part is divided amongst a series of things, libraries, landfill, soil and water conservation, and roads. So if I do the math and I keep going down with that, I can pull your property tax bill and tell you exactly what you pay for roads if I just took a half hour and told you. But it is not fair to say that your property tax bill should all be spent on roads.
And in addition to that, we've invested millions of dollars in a brand new beautiful 965 right by your place. you don't like the investment?
It's so far away.
Can't get to it.
We can't get there.
It's that you get,
and it's sweating.
And it tears
okay. Well, obviously, supervisors should only respond to within just, 400 feet of every person's house. I guess, how else are we supposed to do our jobs? We've put millions of dollars into 965. We've put a bunch of money into Derby. We've put a bunch of money into Greencastle. We've put a bunch of money into...
On the other side of the river.
We've put a bunch of money in... It's not the other side of the river. It's the same side of the river you're on.
Derby?
North or south. We're talking about just north of 120th.
Yeah.
It's within a half a mile of where you're talking about being.
No, it's not.
Well, how far is it? Measure it. We got
4 miles. Derby?
Here's
There's
Derby,
nothing
right?
done on Derby that connects to Manor Road,
right
period.
Right, yeah. It doesn't connect, but it's... I say
it's on the other side of 120th.
How far is that from where he lives?
At least 4 or 5 miles.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's 3 miles from Manor Road to 120th.
We need to get control and start moving.
Yeah.
The bottom line here is that... What you're concerned about,
5 miles.
Well,
we're concerned about right here now is the Amana Road.
What we've directed
our roads to do, staff to do, is to come up with 3 or 4 options on what we can do with that road. Now, may include raising some bridges, may include raising part of the road. I don't think it's going to bring everything completely out of the floodplain, but it's going to make it better than what it is.
And
now.
It could include nothing.
And it could. But
which you're obviously for nothing to that.
I'm for a decision that's made based upon data, and that includes the data from the whole county. And you'll be treated just as fairly on that decision making as anybody in South Lone Tree or Sharon Center or Sutliff or any place else. It's a big county, which I'm in the process of trying to measure something here.
I think it's 4 or 5 miles to the first chip and seal on
Derby. It doesn't particularly matter.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, and Ingrid, I've talked to you a lot about road funds in the 950 miles of roads we have. And if we just went McAdam base and we did the whole 9 miles, it's $2.7 million. We do not have $2.7 million. So that's if we don't raise anything or replace any structures. Now, can we begin to work on it? Yes, we probably can, and I told you that. We've asked staff to give us options. Get it out of the floodplain, which I told you the other day when I talked to you that I can't imagine the Corps of Engineers would actually allow us to do that because you're impacting the floodplain, and the permitting would probably take longer than we're going to be alive. So, that's probably not an option. Raise a couple of structures to help with it maybe is an option because the structures are getting near the end of their life anyway. So we're going to have to do something with them. McAdam base some of it and chip seal and phase it in. But if you think we're going to magically have $2.7 million next year to chip and seal the whole road, that's not going to happen.
We're not asking for it next year.
I understand, but you're yelling at us, and when we've told you we are beginning to work on it, we've instructed staff. That's more than it's ever been done. And to blame me, I was born in 1965, so I was in high school when the supervisors screwed you over. I'm sorry they did it, but they're all dead.
We're not blaming you.
But you bring it up every time.
We just want a nice, drivable road.
So does everybody in Johnson County. 150,000 people, and they all want the same thing, and we're trying to provide it for all of them.
Real quick question. On your site, you have a pie chart there that says how the money gets spent. 3% goes to secondary roads, and 3% goes to bike trails.
No, that's not true at all.
That's what it says right on your site.
No, that's not correct.
That's what it says right on your site.
All right, go to the site and find it.
Let me explain it to you a little more, which I have done before.
We spend $10 million.
It's the law. We have a general basic fund.
Needs safety first.
We then go to the legislature and tell them to change the law. But in our general basic fund, we have a minimum transfer and a maximum transfer we're allowed by law. For the last 5 years, we have been taxing you at the maximum level we can in that. In the rural levy, again, we have a minimum level and a maximum level. Every year for the last 4 years, we have inched that up to where we are at
90-some percent
of our maximum levy. That is the most we can put into roads, period. End of discussion. We are not allowed by law to put another penny in. So it doesn't matter that we fund mental health. It doesn't matter that we fund conservation. It doesn't matter that we give food to the poor. I cannot steal money from the poor and put it in roads. It's not legal. I've explained that a million times, and I'm happy to do it again, but even if I wanted to steal money from the poor to give it to your road, I'm not allowed to by law. We have a maximum transfer. We are still able to generate another 200,000, I think, 300,000, and we have chose to move that slowly because it would have raised rural taxes too quickly. So it is true that I can raise property taxes a little more to put into roads, but we made it on rural residents. But the urban residents and all of us combined, I can't raise another nickel. I'm not allowed to. So your argument about trails or your argument about food for the poor doesn't apply. I can't
say
take
anything about food
I can't
for
take
the poor.
Money from trails and put it in roads. It's not legal.
Yeah.
It's we're at our maximum transfer. We can't do it. It's not so you can say all this stuff and you can blame us about the 80s and that's not going to get you anywhere about the road that you want to see done. All you're doing is actually making people choose to do another road. Frankly,
Janelle, we're not trying to make you mad. You're the one yelling.
Because there's
right now.
950 miles of roads. I'm happy to move on to another road that people who actually care about the bigger picture.
$10.3 million on roads is.
I told you it wasn't worth their time to come down.
Well, do you want to listen to the fact or not? Because you said something and it was wrong.
Well, you keep saying it to try to prove your case because you are completely against that road. So you will never ever put a dime of your time into it.
Your mind is already made up. Because that's bull.
No, his mind is already made up.
My mind's not made up. I said I'm going to make it up on data. What you're standing there and you're saying something that is totally untrue, and I want to correct it for the record. I'm in our fiscal year 16 budget right here. Secondary roads, $10.3 million, okay? The total that we're going to spend on trails is going to be less than, we're spending 1.7 out of the conservation bond total. It's about half of that. So it's going to be less than, I think, $700,000.
Not our decision.
Which is also not our decision.
Okay.
But
see, I'm ignorant I don't know, you know.
Okay, but you said it. See, that's the problem is you said it and it was wrong.
I'm saying it as a question to you.
Well, you know, you didn't. You stood up there and you made a statement that was completely wrong. It's wrong by a factor of 20.
The way you're badgering me.
So it's wrong by a factor of 20.
Making me look the way I am is very wrong, too.
Okay, well, what I'm asking you to do is listen to the facts. You stood up and said something that was totally untrue, way untrue. And when I corrected you, you don't like it. Well, you know what? We're trying to deal in facts up here. And if we decide to do this road or not do this road, it'll be based on the facts. At least that's how I'm voting, is facts.
We do have a lot of bicyclers out in our area, and I'm kind of concerned for the safety with the dust. You know, it would be nice if it was chip and seal.
It'd be great.
Yeah.
There's at least 20 bikes that go by every weekend.
It'd be really nice to just...
That's not me. Those are animals who like to ride on rock.
I know.
But I get your point. And I think the problem is that... and I know you're not going to accept this, but we're on your side. We have been... In the last 5 years, we have been raising taxes bonding for roads and lobbying for more money in roads. 6 years ago, we were spending $3 million less on roads, $4 million less, but maybe more than that. So we have this Board of Supervisors, minus the one seat Mike's holding, have been, but the people who sat in his seat before, and he's been here when we passed this recent budget. We have bitten the bullet, and we have gotten yelled at for putting more money in roads. The problem is that there was 40 years of supervisors who shirked on their duties. And the ones that are still alive, you should yell at them. They let your roads deteriorate, and they left us a disaster. And we have been doing it. And I know that doesn't help when your road is still not the way you want it. But we are making progress, and we are getting roads done. But we can't go to a road that's 400 traffic count when we have roads that are 3,000 that are crumbling. And so we've had to mix our money up, and we've had to move it around the quadrants of the county. Your quadrant has gotten significant projects. I granted they weren't on your road, but you know the people in Lone Tree want some money spent on their roads too outside of Lone Tree. We're making progress. We've raised taxes. We get yelled for that. We're bonding. We get yelled for that. We lobbied to raise your gas taxes. We get yelled for that. But we're making progress, and blaming us for something that happened in the 80s or having false information about trails, I would never do it. I'm not going to take the $700,000 we're going to spend on trails. But I can't legally do it even if I wanted to. And if you would just give us a chance as opposed to yell at us, then we can get on the same page and understand how collectively we want the roads to be better in our county. And we have to answer to 140-some thousand people who want the same thing in their neighborhood.
And I'll add, I'm actually excited. We created this thing called the Maintenance Rehabilitation Program, or MRP. It's basically an effort to start to go after some of these gravel roads, particularly ones that were impacted by those residents who lost the chip sealing. So that process is just getting started as well. So those kind of things are actually real positive steps that we're taking right now. And as I said before, having a man of road on this, what I call short list of priorities, that's a very good sign for us to be able to do something versus nothing. And so, you know, having this conversation is exactly, even though it gets heated and all that, the reality is that you have five individuals, all five of us, who have agreed that this is something real important, and it's just a matter of getting this process moving forward.
We're not trying to come off that we're yelling. We just don't know how this works. Yeah. We have no idea how this works.
I was trying to get, you know, we've all been working on this for some time, trying to get it going. I've talked to several of you myself. Another thing I want to add to this is we're going to do something in parts of that road and try, we'll see what they recommend. But we lost about probably 10 years of dollars that would have went to roads such as yours when they did the transfer of jurisdiction, 965 Oakcrest Hill Road, some of these other roads.
And the state turned
them over to us with very little maintenance, and we've had to upgrade those, replace bridges, and do all that, and resurface those.
965.
And that money's those are done now. So now we're beginning to start coming back and putting money into the secondary roads that you're
talking
about.
I know
there's
no money to go around. We're just asking that you
get
us on there somewhere.
Well, I tell you,
the fact that we put our staff on this when he doesn't have time to do what he's building projects this year means that it's important to us.
He's going
to
come back with those four options, and we're going to find out what they cost.
And I'll tell you, Linn County, I know if you all drive up Linn County, that extra penny on that sales tax, they are checking off road after road after road after road because they are flush with money.
Okay, so now that we're not ignorant to the pie chart thing with the trails and everything, now we'll know that, you know, if we do something like that, we know where it's going. We don't know what, you know.
Did you get a copy of this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, the future project list isn't on here.
No, we haven't.
It's on the PowerPoint. Below. It's going to be in this PowerPoint.
It would be helpful for you to see the future project list because it's a full 8
page. I know there's a million roads in Johnson County.
This PowerPoint will be put on our website, or is it already there?
You can get the futures projects list off of the website, though. So it's there.
Yeah, it's on our 5-year road plan.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm just so worried that if you guys do, I mean, I I'm not sure if it has happened before, but I'm just so worried that if you put money in there for Manor Road, it's going to get robbed from again.
Very first part, which you don't actually care about, I think, yeah. At the very end. And we said that we didn't have a plan for the rest of the road and that we would rather get a project done as opposed to leave that money in the bank. And so by removing it, it's not quite robbing it. Okay. It was in an out year, and we just we weren't clear that's what we wanted to do. It was because if we would have multiplied that out, I think I told you, Ingrid, it was like $13 million.
Again, we got to find out whether kind of fits.
You're right. We robbed it, but we robbed it for a greater purpose so that we could get a real plan as opposed to a haphazard. Our intention then was to tell staff, give us options. We'll come back in the fall, and we'll make a decision.
So that money...
should hold us to that, a decision.
That you put in there or whatever, that's not state money you asked for.
No.
That's just money that was already in there.
No, these are...
for a Manor Road, and then you just...
These are MRP or maintenance rehabilitation projects.
We don't know... There's no way we'll ever understand
These are property tax dollars.
No way we'll ever understand how that works.
Yeah, and we rearranged it, which is true, but it wasn't state dollars, and it's not gone forever. It was gone for a better purpose, and that's let's come up with a real plan. And then if we commit to this real plan, whatever it is, it's going to be on here for a couple of years. And
yeah.
And at that point we rob it, then you should scream bloody murder to whoever sits in these chairs.
I seriously think that road could be a beautiful biking. I mean, there's nature trails on there. I'm not trying to make the case, but I am.
I agree with you. There's all sorts of trails.
There's the gun range. There's the archery range. And there's always tractorcades that go down there and bike, you know, big, huge groups of bison.
Oh, yeah. No, all of it. But there's also the federal and state regulations around that road are monumental.
And one other thing, too, is one other real quick question. Is there a reason or is it better or worse or why do we have to use the calcium chloride or can we use like a tree sap product that, you know, calcium chloride to me is just, it's hard on your car, really bad.
Flexibility with that, don't we?
And it also, I'm worried, like the runoff issue of the calcium chloride.
Do you use the tree sap?
Okay.
I mean, historically, we've used a chloride, a mag chloride, or a
calcium chloride or magnesium chloride. Reason being is you can blade it. And it'll rejuvenate itself somewhat once it gets some moisture. If you go in and you get some holes and some tree sap and you blade that, it's done.
So is there a way to opt for just tree sap in front of your house? Because I think every resident on that road would be willing to fill the potholes himself. Because if you dump calcium chloride on a piece of metal, it's gone instantly.
It eats the bottom of your car.
Well, you'd...
Or is it just because it's cheaper? Or I don't know. I'm just asking.
No, it's nothing to do with the cost.
I want to make a statement because I don't want to go there again. But.
Well, it's not based on
some cost. Residents opt for tree sap that they pay for, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is a safety road. It's over the threshold of 150 cars per day, so we spray 500 feet in front of each resident. So, I mean, calcium chloride, which we'll be doing here in
or
a week
mag,
or so.
Whichever is a little
or not.
Better.
Right. Yeah, a little bitter. Like I said, it allows us to be able to blade the road if need be.
How much extra would it cost to just do the whole road in dust control? Because it's almost a safety issue. You start going fast when you're off of that dust when you're on the dust control, and then you get on the gravel, and shoo, it just flies, and you can't see anything.
Well, it's part of the reason why I think over the years engineers actually have advised that this isn't necessarily the best thing to do surface-wise or anything else, but we've wanted to give residents the flexibility, and
I'm not complaining.
No, I'm just saying, technically speaking, it's us that chooses that flexibility, and so we want to have at least that.
Bear on the part that Ingrid pays for, she could put tree sap, right?
Sure.
The problem is that you come in because you have to maintain the road and you blade it, the tree sap is gone, where the calcium or magnesium chloride, in theory, is still stuck to the particles that are there, and as soon as you get rain, it comes back. I mean...
Okay. We'd like to hear from anyone else that would like to speak here. Yeah.
My name is Teresa Mulhausen, and I live 6 miles on Amana Road in between Amana, which I was told was our number one tourist attraction, that may or may not be true, or six, you know, right in the middle of it, 6 miles going the other way to Highway 965. What I think is Amana Road's biggest problem, first of all, I think gravel is bad for cars, so, you know, I can't nitpick on the calcium chloride.
So are you west of Greencastle then still?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm right in the middle of Amana Road.
Okay.
6 miles to 965, 6 miles or whatever it adds up to be, into Main Amana. What I think one of our huge problem is, besides the fact that we live in a state where you can pull off the road and shoot a gun, I have a real problem with that. Because
I voted against that, just so
I'm
you
gonna
know.
I'm going to tell you, thank you very much.
I was at
because
DNR.
They get to put their ear stuff on, and we don't. We drive by and these cannons go off. And, you know, isn't it, don't you ever worry that someone's going to have a seizure, pull around and blow your brains out while you're driving by? I mean, those are all things that I think about. And I am for people having guns. But I do think there should at least be a driveway and a parking lot, you know, off the road. Because you have to admit, that is a danger. That is dangerous thing, just waiting to be bad, to get worse. But my problem with the Amana Road mainly is the whiteout conditions from going from a treated road, whether it's tree sap or whatever, to the white, because there's some long, and Kevin can, you know, they have these big gravel trucks, and I know they have to bring in gravel, I appreciate that, but the whiteout conditions are just dangerous.
With the dust, you mean?
Yes.
Not with snow, but
and
dust.
Another thing is I run a business on Amana Road, Wintree Farm. I did have, you know, I mean, this is the road where the horses get shot on. But I treat them for chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder that my veterinarian said is directly related to the dust. I mean, on the road. Okay. That's another issue. But I think that the safety of people, whether you're riding a bike, whether you're walking, or driving your car, and Terrence, thank you very much for emceeing the ARC Awards dinner.
Last year.
Because my son is always there and loves to get his spirit award.
Oh, good.
But anyway, I mean, we're driving down a man road and all this dust is going, and he says, Mom, I'm having a heart attack back here. You know, it's scary.
Yeah,
it's really scary. And sometimes those people don't even look that are pulling out of the gun range right into the middle of the cars that are going back and forth on that road. They have to back out onto Amana Road. So I think that the safety, that is the worst part, and the whiteout conditions. So I would implore that you find some way to do dust control on the whole road instead of, you know, a few hundred feet either side of a driveway.
What's our typical process for reaching a point where we do put chip seal on a full road? We don't really have one. Dust control on a full road. Isn't there a certain...
Yeah, it's 150 cars per day. We call spot application, and 300 vehicles or more constitute
for solid.
So we can look at this road, particularly when these new numbers come. This could be...
Because we also have, I'm sorry to interrupt, we also have people from Amana. I don't know why they think going down a gravel road is going to get them back to Interstate 80, but...
Their GPS.
Their GPS.
It shows them the shortest distance. That's why you have truck traffic.
And we have a lot of cars.
We worked with Swisher trying to alleviate this, but it's their stupid GPS units. I mean, I don't know... We need to talk to Garmin and TomTom.
Yeah, you know, I've lived there 21 years, and I know I chose to live on a gravel road. I did that. It's just, I did not know when I moved on the gravel road about the whiteout conditions, because it was in the fall. And, you know, there was a lot of moisture. But it is really dangerous. I don't know. How many of you have had that whiteout experience?
I grew up on a gravel road.
You know what it's like. And grow up...
As a matter of fact, we were 3 miles away from the nearest paved road. So
I worked on it for 18 years. So
I grew up on a gravel road, so I know what you're talking about. I've been on yours.
And you've been on mine. And when you go, when one of these dump trucks goes by you, or the school bus, or whatever, I mean, here, you cannot see.
Can you get us... At 300, we would do more than spot. The 500 feet per house.
It would be
house.
Solid.
It'd be solid
from node to node, or just through
so
an intersection.
So, I mean, the new traffic counts will be out. I mean, when you looked at that map, it ends probably before your house, where it's below 300.
We probably will not. You know, when we get the final counts from the DOT, which probably won't come to us until sometime, we have to then sit down and look at all of the numbers to make sure that something errant isn't with the numbers that they counted.
Right, right. So next year at this time.
Which means that we may have to go and recount roads where they may not have known that there was a construction project or there was a road closure for whatever reason when they did their count. So then we will reevaluate that, look at any numbers that are off, go back, recount as needed. And so the numbers that we would be getting this summer will not be applicable until next year for dust control purposes.
And could you not put that counter out when the road goes underwater?
Yeah.
We don't put the counters out. DOT does. But when we think what he's explaining is our staff goes through it and they're like, this doesn't make any sense. We know there have been building permits here. Or we knew there was a construction here, or we knew the road was underwater, and then we will go out and recount it and adjust it ourselves. But we don't pick the dates DOT puts out.
We had that on Blaine Cemetery just a couple of years ago. It was kind of a mess, and we had to recount.
The people they hire to do the counts, they don't necessarily know if there's a construction project or road closed right around the area. So
what did you do to Falcon Avenue? Because that's good. I would take it. In a heartbeat.
What did we do with Phil?
Nothing yet. We're going to.
There's...
You did the ditches, right?
It is... You just don't get white out on that road. Do you? I mean, am I crazy?
You need to identify yourself, sir.
Richard Klein's at one time, a couple years ago, you did Falcon Avenue complete from 120th to Amana Road. This, I believe, was 3 years ago. You coated the whole complete road.
Put rock on it.
No, you did it with calcium chloride. But you did the complete road. You didn't do just in front of residences. You did the whole thing.
Did have a construction project one?
Was there a detour?
It had to do with the construction on 965.
Well, that could have been because there was time there. Yeah.
It was a detour.
Is that on the detour?
That's too far away to detour.
Or 120th or something. But
I don't know. Though.
Then I don't know why it was done.
Might have been using it.
But 965, you say it's 6 miles from there, you know, 5 miles from Falcon Avenue. But you did Falcon Avenue the whole complete road because it was so nice, you know, to travel.
Whoever that maintainer's guy was,
it might have been an accident.
Well, how about another accident? Like going on 30 Avenue all the way through, and on Amana Road all the way through.
Yeah, we'll have to investigate how that happened.
Bear, can you get us an estimate on an accident on Amana Road?
So, Richard, Eric,
yep.
Teresa, Ingrid, Robert, thank you for, as a new guy, this is really informative for me.
I appreciate your concerns and your passion, and this is obviously something that we're concerned about, or it wouldn't be on our future projects thing. All I ask is a little bit more patience. We need a little bit of time, and we need a little bit of money. But I thank you for coming here today, and I appreciate listening to your concerns, and this is what our democracy is all about, for you to be able to petition your government. So,
Neil, what kind of time frame do you think before you have something that we can talk about?
Well, I know right now it's actually just like the first phase is like the major part that's being evaluated for archaeological resources and wetlands, which is the stretch that goes from 965 to Greencastle. And that's the stretch that is what we'll have these concepts developed for. But kind of at the same time, I guess we'll... I know the stretch beyond that is just on the future priorities list. I guess the main intent was to really focus on that first phase for right now.
So can we talk about that a little bit? Because I don't see us having the kind of money it would take to raise this out of the flood. I just don't. So I'm not so sure I want Neil to spend a lot of time and a lot of consultants trying to figure that out. I mean, I know we have that on the list, but he could give us just a generic estimate.
Yeah, that's what I want.
But I don't want him to spend much time on that, if you know, that list you had, number one. Because I don't think we're ever going to do number one. I'll be frank, we don't have money growing on trees. And I don't see how we get to number one in anyone's lifetime in this room. We used to make fun of John Etheridge because we figured he would outlive the rest of us. But that's not true with Mike because he's now in our age group. But
I'm still the only 70s baby.
I frankly don't see option one as we're ever going to be able to fund it. So I don't want you spending that much time. I want you to make an educated guess. Sure.
But I do want some kind of number, because if we don't have it,
you need something to compare it to.
People are going
to
say, well, what if you just did it right? What would that cost? So I want to have something. I don't think it has to be. I agree with Janelle.
Yeah, because you're talking about getting consultants and archaeology. Now, on a couple of the structures, they're nearing the end of their life. And we know that. So we're going to have to replace them anyway. If we do that, does it make sense to do them right? That, I would rather you spend a little more. That's the something in between raise part of it.
With pretty much every structure that we replace, we're finding that we are having to considerably raise what the existing elevation of that deck is. And that is to meet DNR guidelines from, flow that needs to come underneath the structure.
And a lot of times that means a long approach, and so you
That's
end
right.
up with...
And that was going to be my suggestion, particularly to get west or northwest of Greencastle or whatever that is there. You know, those are going to have to come up somewhere to replace those older. You want to be able to have at least cars to be able to meet.
Does anyone know how long the first chip and seal road was there? Because that went underwater, not as often as it does now, but many times. And that road held up every year.
I think we can answer that so we can all stop arguing about it. I think if we did macadam base and chip seal, that the road will hold up. Your water does not actually move that quickly. What it does is it comes in and it stays there and it brings a lot of trees with it and makes a god-awful mess. And then we have to come clean it up. So I think we believe that macadam base with chip seal would hold up, because macadam base will change the drainage anyway. I don't think we need to be proved that. It's still expensive. But what we don't want to do, and I doubt we will do, I mean, this is a big doubt, is just come through with your current road and all the bumps and crap with it and put oil on it. We are unlikely to do that, because that's a waste of money. I mean, our people here would just about have a heart attack if we told them that's what we wanted to do. Run down there and put oil on it and don't change anything. And yeah, they're about to get blood pressure problems right now. But I don't think we, well, the reason we've talked about raising it is because it does go underwater and because we do believe that it will continue to go underwater, and we think our flooding problems in the coming years will get worse, not better. So we did want to know, if we wanted to do it right, what would it cost? I happen to believe we're not going to have the money to do it because I had $13 million based on some talk we had had. But so what I don't want is Neil to spend a lot of time on that number one. I want an educated guess, but not consultants and stuff. I mean, that's where I am.
I think when we do regrade, do some of that regrading, we want to put some rock along the edges. When you get the water that raises, it's not eroding the surface itself. But like you said, when it goes down, then you can clean it off and go on.
What part did the DNR play in this? They got a separate budget from anything you guys come up with?
They're not part of the
county. They're not part of
they're
you.
Part
well,
of
then that shooting range is basically...
Other than causing us a lot of trouble with permitting.
But basically, that shooting range is provided by the DNR. So would that not be their responsibility to do a part of that?
They want us to do it for them.
No, they don't.
There's no way
they,
you can pressure them to?
They don't...
They're bigger than us.
Well, and if you actually read the newspaper, you'll find out we have more money than DNR.
Well,
that will shock you. But the legislature's been gutting DNR every single year, and they're at their lowest general fund funding since, I think, the 60s.
But they're a landowner, just like you folks are. They would agree with you.
They are. They do. Yeah.
Well, how can we get rid of the gun range?
It's there for a while.
Totally different issue.
I was told that if I went and complained at the DNR headquarters, that they would give my name out to anyone who asked who complained.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But it's
that, I mean, that, hey, look, that might be another lie that I've been told.
That's been approved, and they put a lot of money in expansion and so forth, so I don't see that going away.
And really, our agenda here is about the road.
Yeah, I know,
and not the
but
range,
you know what?
But
it brings out a lot of people on our road. It, you know, and by the way, I'm from North Carolina. Go Duke.
Is there anyone who would like to speak that has not spoken?
I'm Deb Persaud. I live on Amana Road. I've been there for 15 years. And I understand there's no funds. There never is. And I would just like better maintenance. Since I've lived there, it has gone downhill every year. The snow plows come last. You know, when we had the ice, they came by probably a day later and threw a little bit of sand down, which... I don't know. My grandkids have more sand in their sandbox than they put in front of my road. And I do live on the hill on a curve, so it is more treacherous. And I'm afraid to drive on the ice. I probably shouldn't be living there, but I chose to. And I just would prefer some better maintenance. That's all. Just a little more maintenance. The dust control, definitely. Don't, you know... If possible, don't put dust control down and then come over and put gravel down 2 weeks later. That was disastrous. It is hard living there. I am close to the road, so there is a lot of dust, and the dust is probably my biggest problem. And the gravel, too, when they plow it, they push it in the ditches. Please come and trench those. My husband goes out every spring and does it himself because it floods our front yard. The water can't go through. Because there's so much gravel in there, he has to dig out all of the, you know, the ditches and trench them himself. He's called, he's complained, and they just don't come out and do it. So that is just my biggest.
Some of that's going to happen with the snow plowing. DOT does it to me all the time. I'm out there cleaning it up.
Yeah,
there, so
I know, and I know that the gravel comes on our yard, and you know we have to push it all off to mow it because you can't mow over that gravel.
We hear this stuff, but if for some reason. I mean, see, I've not known Kevin to not respond. So if for whatever reason your husband calls and he does not get a call back from Kevin.
Oh, he got a call back, probably.
Us. Okay.
He probably got a call back. But that didn't mean that somebody came out and actually did it. I think the response might have been that wasn't your job or to come and trench the ditches or
no,
I don't
think that any staff would make that comment. I mean,
okay,
we pay about $6 a ton for rock. And that's a lot of rock. And to send one of our employees out at their hourly rate to do that, it would be more cost-effective for us to buy more rock. But it's not cost-effective for us to go out and do that. And if we're pushing rock off into the ditch, that's a good sign that we are maintaining the road because we're putting rock on it. That's a good thing.
Or just coming out and plowing and moving it around. We've seen that done before, too.
That's part of maintenance, though, to reincorporate and make the crown on the road.
And it is worse where I live, unfortunately, because I'm on the hill and the water drains right down and all the gravel comes right in there. It's just a bad deal. I mean, it's a bad deal for us, but it is what it is. I just know in the 15 years, it was good when we first moved out there. We had a lot of maintenance. They were always coming out, and I know that with the economy, things really went downhill, and we didn't see it anymore. You know, it took hours before the snowplow would come down the road, and the schools, you know, I'm in the college community district, so, you know, they would be closed, but we still have to go to work. We still have to get out. And you can't. You just can't. You have to call in and say, well, I'll be in at noon. Sorry, can't get out of my, you know, down my road. And so that is a problem. And I understand you have a million roads to,
to do. And I don't want to make an excuse because you're just going to get mad. But
no, I won't.
Everything about our weather has changed in the last 15 years.
That is true.
And so, climate change is dramatically impacting the Midwest. And if you don't believe in climate change, that's fine.
Or move to Florida.
Something has changed. We get more intense storms. We get more intense rains. We get more freeze-thaw cycles. And so if you look across the state of Iowa, all of the roads have suffered from this. This year, all the roads were heaving, the hard surface roads. Some brand-new roads heaved, you know. Your sidewalks and stuff have done the same thing. So it is true that in these 15 years, the roads have looked worse. And the board recognized that, and we have completely rewritten our budgets and put more money in roads, but we're trying to catch up. But it's not just that your maintenance has changed, it's that the demands of the roads have changed. And during the 15 years you're talking about, we've had three major floods. Mm-hmm. We've had two near misses. We've had the worst winters on record, a couple of those. And we've had, we used to never see 6-7-inch rains. Now that's pretty normal in a summer. And so our maintenance people have been directed to do more maintenance, to get more done. We've given them more money, and we're beginning to see improvements. But there's 900 plus miles of roads and
30,000 more residents.
So
I agree with
you're picking. It is true, but that your road is in worse shape than 15 years ago.
Right.
But part of it is,
you know, we do pay taxes. I understand maybe what 1%, 2% might go to the roads or to our road or whatever. I get that, you know. But it just seems like the weather definitely has been worse. But this winter wasn't that bad. And not in comparison to the last winters we've had. And in that last ice storm, you know, that we had, it really affects the gravel roads more so, of course, than all the other roads because it's harder to drive. And then when it thaws, it just freezes again, and it's just a mess. But, you know, if someone could just come by and throw some extra sand, especially in the hills and the curves, just to make it safer, I would just appreciate that. And
thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
I have a question. Would it alleviate like some of the traffic from even the Swisher 120th if that road down there was more accessible to more cars? Because I know that Swisher Blacktop Road has a ton of traffic.
I think any time you improve a road, you're going to be adding traffic, particularly when you're going between Amana's and 965, Cedar Rapids, North Liberty, whatever. You probably increase truck traffic and so forth as well. And that's kind of a rule of thumb on that. If you improve a road, you're going to attract traffic because it's a better road.
I would just say in general, whether we do anything to roads, fix them or not, there's more people living here and driving through here than ever before, so I would expect road counts to go up everywhere.
And
no 120th, matter what.
We'll get in them. We're not actually. We're coming up with a new level of maintenance that actually isn't full out reconstruction, but instead
diamond grinding.
Yeah, pretty much starting to look
good
at some of those projects.
Right on. I mean,
you know, to assist with the
as much time out of it. As
yeah,
you can.
Try to get at least 10 or 15 more years on 120th and plenty of others in the next five. That's about 5 years out. That project.
Well, thank you, you guys.
If we do
anything
your road, thanks, it'll increase traffic. I mean, that's a guarantee.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Just, you guys, if I could add a comment for, and you all know this.
Is it possible to stretch?
Yes.
Are you going to talk about Amana Road?
No, okay. Quickly. We, as you know, have a vehicle location data on our big equipment, which would include all of our tandem axle dump trucks, all of our maintenance vehicles, all the motor graders that are out there. So we can run an analysis exactly how many times a vehicle or a truck has been down a specific road. We can tell you the date, the times that it was hit during any snowstorm event or during regular maintenance. It's 24/7. So that's something that, and it's helpful because we get phone calls, my plow isn't going to be there, and he can, you know, Kevin's had phone calls where it's going to be there in about 20 minutes because I see where he's at. So that's good information for us to pass on to the residents, and it certainly, I think, helps assist them with, we are out there doing good things, and they are, you know, they're coming. So, or they've been there, they're going to come back. And so those are things that are available.
And I apologize because I think we got on a tangent when I asked Neil about kind of time frames. Roughly how long do you think before there's something to report?
Yeah, I think with just kind of do some, continue with some investigative work, you know, like I was saying, that first phase would be the primary area to be looking at, to have some good concepts developed this summer and, you know, present that stuff to you guys this coming fall.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. We're going to take a short break here. How does the board want to do this? I think, Terrence, you ordered some time noon, right?
Whatever. We're going to go till 2, so we can take a little.
Thank
we're going to be out here for a little while.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
You guys want to? Do you all want to just take like?
Excuse me. I need.
Okay. So let's just take, 5-10 minutes, and we'll get started again.
Okay, I need to comment on that real briefly. My laptop is frozen. What that means is during your recess, you will have a live audio stream because I'm not able at this point to control the laptop.
Oh, okay.
So just so you're aware of that,
keep
your
conversation
let you know,
about food.
We're going to, as long as you're just going to have a 5-minute recess.
Red cabbage.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Just take a little.
We'll be recessed.
Top.
Yeah.
It's frozen a couple of other times. Yeah, and I can't do anything with it.
It happens quite often.
Kimberly said it's happened to her, and we just need to get a new laptop. So.
Oh my. But wait a second.
Recording paused.
This is what Pat did to Greg.
Oh,
I said Greg.
You can't hear him. You can't see him waving.
We are back in session. So, Ed, you want to start wherever you were at to begin with?
We took a little detour there, but
thanks for getting it. Angie emailed it to us, so everybody should have it.
Yeah,
it can be hard for us to read it up there.
And I apologize in advance. I did this last night after I got home. So, if there's typos and stuff, forgive me.
No excuses.
There's no forgiveness? Okay. Never mind. I thought we'd start with a recap of what we wanted to, or what we had from the previous work session. What you see in front of you, you still have this, the big tabulation sheet that shows all of the orange on it, plus you have the map, I hope. Well, actually, you should have two maps, because there's another one that's a right-of-way needs map. But the one I'm going to focus on is the one up here on the top with the orange highlighting on it. This is basically what we came up with after, I can't remember if it was our first or second work session together. This sheet you have in front of you reflects all the direction that we received about IWV Road. We added Herbert Hoover to the 2019 year. 120th Street now starts at the Swisher corporate limits and goes west as requested. We did look at that little section in between Highway 965 and the east corporate limits of Swisher. And Neil, you might want to just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I guess we took a quick look, and it actually is only about a 600-foot stretch that where we left off with doing that intersection when we went through and paved the pavement for 120th Street at 965. So, yeah, it's only about 600 feet between there and where the city limit.
This is from 965.
South side of the road.
Right. And well, this is stuff to think about a few years from now, but I would feel more comfortable in some kind of at least, we'll call it just at least a general person's written agreement that if they chose to annex that, they'd pay us back or something of that nature, or use their, or maybe make an arrangement like we did with Shoeyville with. Do you see what I mean? We got burned on hills a little bit.
Yeah, we kind of got burned on hills a little bit, and I agree.
I just think that there ought to be a way. I actually went and did this interview and survey with this gentleman from Kansas State University or Kansas University, and he was talking quite a bit about how communities are starting to try to figure out agreements between city and county when it comes to road investments, so that cities aren't capturing those county roads without some kind of compensation or agreement.
Do they kick in on the green line there?
That green line is where they start. And they own the south half all the way to the other side of town.
Yeah.
So
the only
that's
part
the
that,
fire department there?
That's correct.
Yeah.
So we only have 600 feet to start with, right?
Yeah, that's right. All ours.
Right.
Now, we have the north side for a little while. I think
and
that's
suggested.
And I think we need to partner with them on.
And we were thinking that'd be a good project by itself to
right.
do this piece in between all the way through the city. We think the city would probably be interested in that, but you know, when
well, the problem
and stuff.
When you say all the way through the city, they've got huge issues once you hit the actual where the residences are. There's nowhere near enough right of way. But I would agree that at least up to where you start to see the houses, it makes sense to do something jointly. I mean, we like you said, we got the north side.
But, you know, and the way I look at it, two things. Number one, and again, this is a little out, obviously, but I would be more comfortable of the county investing in our portion if the Swisher City Council would be investing at the same time for their portion, and they would agree to some kind of agreement that says, hey, we're annex this, we'll pay you back over
where
five
am I
going
to find the first 120th on here?
That's in calendar year 2019.
All right, so it's not even that section.
No.
See, I don't actually agree with that, and I've been very clear about this, that I believe that the traffic counts should drive where we start these. So you start with your cities and move out, not start at the county line and move in.
No, we're not. We're starting at Swisher.
Starting at the west side of Swisher.
We'd be starting right here. And going west.
Right, I understand, but why aren't we doing that 600 feet that we own in between?
It's kind of, I guess we kind of the same way that we had kind of just talked, where if it'd be something where we'd partner with the city, that'd be a better opportunity to take care of doing
right,
that
so
same
I,
stretch rather than do a
I think it should be,
small 600 feet foot
I think it
section.
Should be there because I think that's the first phase of this project. Because if you show me the traffic count, I can prove it to you that there's more traffic there than there is to the west of town.
Well, why don't we look at that
But then that's going to be contingent upon getting an agreement with Swisher.
Sure.
Yeah.
But if you want me to tell you which section of road do I want to put the first money in, it's going to be that section. Before I ever go to the county line.
And I agree with that if those two contingencies are in play.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
Otherwise,
so you
would start out and go back in.
You had mentioned a deal with Shoeyville.
What kind of deal do we have with that?
Oh, it's more complicated than that.
It's not a good example.
I'll sit aside with you. But okay. the example, though, is that a city would look at, they could use some bonding capabilities even through us.
Well, a good example is what we're doing with Oxford right now.
Yeah.
Is we share responsibility for that road. We're going to share the costs on it, but then we get rid of it forever after that. And that's on this year. Yep. Right, so that can happen here, where we share the cost on that section, and then we get rid of it forever. Oh. It becomes their maintenance. I mean, that...
Well, or we say that they can't annex for X number of years in case we thought that there was, for some reason, RJ, something going to be built out there on the north side.
But they can't just pay us back.
We might want to capitalize on it. But.
Right.
I mean, these communities
are... So, I guess my argument here
believe, so.
Is when we're going to start on 120th, I want it to be that project, not the one you have here. And I said that before.
Well,
I'd rather start...
At least throw that option
at the highest traffic count. So. Which is... what is the traffic count right there?
We don't actually have one in that location.
We don't have one there.
In between 965 and the city. You have the 1660 that's on the west side of Swisher, and then you have,
oh, you don't have one
in between...
So can you just
we have it in between 965?
Can you just
and
put both?
Not,
at this point, just put both sections in. I think we have an understanding of what we want, just so it's clear that just put that additional 600 feet.
That's
in there.
Not that's not going to monumentally change the additional costs that we're going to need to do the project. So that's,
you'll make me happier if you do that.
Personally, I
consider it done.
I'm hoping that the city of Swisher.
No,
would
that's
even,
not going to work, but.
I'd hope that the city of Swisher would even recognize and look at that as potentially whatever they choose to put in front of their own community, potentially to make it to city standard, and they make the extra investment. I mean, if I was a planner for the community of Swisher, I would want that intersection so bad you wouldn't even believe it, and at least up to where Cedar Rapids takes over. There's such a potential in front of that whole area. I mean, it's really unbelievable that community has not annexed that and has lost some capabilities on the road with Cedar Rapids. So,
a lot of capabilities.
So what we'll do, if I'm hearing direction from the board, we will add the 600 feet to the project that you already see there on the 2019, because it's not going to significantly change the project cost. It was the only reason we left it off was because it kind of creates this little island of fixing.
Though
by
I agree,
itself and maybe leaves that whole big piece in between. The
though I agree with Terrence, I don't want to do it without an agreement.
Right.
Well, it,
but that gives you a timeline of when you need to have that agreement
and
in place.
You a, it gives a commitment that we're interested in doing this as well. So okay. We can do that.
Right. And with your commitment and direction, that kind of leads us into having a chat with the city of Swisher to let them know that this is what we discussed with
who's
you
the
all
liaison to that? Do we
this
know?
Is the direction Mine? We're getting. What do you all think about this and how would we like to proceed?
Angie. He's about to figure it out.
So whoever the liaison is with that community will work with you on that.
Might be me.
All of us think it's
we
us.
Just switched
we
them.
Just switched them, yeah, and we haven't had... You had Oxford, though.
I have Oxford. I know that.
Okay, so we got our direction. We'll add that piece. Perfect. I like it when it's just that easy. We also added Echo Avenue from Highway 6 to 250th. This is the that's the piece on the west side of Kent Park. To our right-of-way needs map, and I believe you have a copy of that on there. It's the only change we would be making to that map this year.
I think he wasn't even at the meeting, and we put his road on.
He'll be working with Rod, by the way.
Okay.
Echo Avenue is Terrence's pet project, and he wasn't even at the meeting, and we added it to the right-of-way dedication.
I think that's a good first step.
We got that on
30 years from now when you get that done.
Yeah.
And the last thing here, and you kind of led into it, we heard that whenever we're working with our adjacent communities to the county, unincorporated county to incorporated cities, we're going to copy the Board of Supervisors liaisons to that, just to keep you in the loop, and that'll help keep the cities in the loop, and then everybody's moving forward together. So, all right, so then something really big happened on March 1st. We all started paying more for gasoline and diesel and a whole lot of things, and actually permits too. One of the reasons for this meeting was so that the board could take a look at what we've got coming in. You've seen these projections. These are the ones that I took these numbers. I wasn't sure where the 880 was coming from, but I got these off that email we just received from the Iowa DOT. It looks like our secondary road fund, according to that email, is going to get about $833,000. And the FM road fund was somewhere around $282,000 for a total of about $1.1
million. I think your third bullet here, or third arrow, is misleading. Because that, it's going to leave people with the impression that we can do 50% more work than we're doing. You're not calculating in everything that we've been spending on roads, including bonding and the MERP projects, because this is not going to increase it by 42%. I mean,
this factor only. This is a 42% increase of just those two items, essentially. There's actually that FM transfer.
But that's not what it says. This boosts our road construction budget by approximately 42%. It's misleading, and that's going to lead people in here screaming at us.
Okay.
If you got an increase of 42%, then why isn't my road done? So you need to come up with a different way to word that.
A better way to math that out. I'll take care of that.
Because, you know, we've been spending, if you, I mean, what are we spending on road construction or MERPs right now?
I have a pie chart in the big presentation that'll explain this better. This was only supposed $6 million
or something.
Yeah.
So I mean, this 1.1, if you took $6 million, yeah. So I just want to caution you that will get us yelled at.
Okay.
And so figure out another way to explain it.
I'll talk to my wife. She's a statistician, and you know what they do with numbers. So I'll figure out a better way to show this. I think you're right. I noted on there. I'll just eliminate that. All.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's 1.1 million. That's what we're going to get as a county. We've been asking for this for years. This is fantastic. To be dead honest, I didn't ever think we were going to see it. So this is pretty amazing.
You haven't got it yet.
Well, we're...
At least they're taxing it.
They're taxing it right away.
Keep with the check.
Okay. Anyway, we have the intent of this whole thing, and this is actually right in the bill, is to use this money that we are gaining exclusively for critical roads and bridge construction projects that significantly extend the life of such assets. So when we came up with our proactive plan to handle this, you know, we figured that people are probably either real happy they got the gas tax, or they're probably unhappy about it, and they're going to want to see something happening right away. Otherwise, like you said, we're going to get the yellings at. So we've actually accounted for all this extra money in this plan.
That I want to put to bed this discussion about March, April, May, June. That's a third of a year.
We counted on that in here.
We did.
Okay, so you've built it in the out years?
No, it's built in all around.
We included those 3 months as part of what we're projecting here, and last week we heard a different
response. So it might be higher.
Response.
Lower.
Maybe lower.
Depending on whether they give us those 4 months, I'm not sure what they would do with it.
How can they not give it to us? The formula didn't change.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of what date you're going to get it.
It's just a matter of what date, which is why we incorporated this in here.
Okay, so you're planning on spending those 4 months.
Absolutely.
Three.
Well, it's four.
April, May, and June.
March. It started in March.
No, we always knew that there, even if it just started, there's a delay of when they get the money.
I understand, but eventually you're going to get March, April, May, and June money.
I think our first disbursement probably will be for March, and then the next one will be for April, so we'll be 3 months behind.
Right. But eventually you're going to get it.
It'll get caught up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're planning on spending it as opposed to banking those 4 months.
Well,
okay.
That's one of the options we're throwing out.
This is the proposal we're sending out. We want direction on what to do with this. We've come up with what we recommend. The board can make that's the whole point of this process. We all work together. We make our professional recommendations, and we know that there are a lot of other factors and things that we don't see. So that's why we have to have this discussion. This one, basically, I just threw it in here. The bottom one's the important part, is that I read the comment sections. It's bad for my health because I hear all these things about how we're just going to take this money. It's a boondoggle. And I can assure everybody that's listening to this that's not happening, because we have actually shown where that money is going to be spent, how much it is, and it totals up to that exact $1.1 million every year. Now, these are estimates. We know that. But we're going to spend that money on roads here in Johnson County, and we're going to use that wisely. So if there's anybody out there that thinks that this money is just going into some big pot someplace and it's just going to get frittered away, it's just completely incorrect.
So. I got a question, Ed.
Yes, sir.
I see on the media, one of the things that they were talking about was Highway 20 being four-lane all the way across the state. There's 35 miles, and apparently some of the legislators that were key to, that were swing votes, live up in that area. Is there a certain portion of this that goes to the state where they're building new roads, and then we're, yes, and our portion then goes to, now what percentage goes of that 10 cents goes to the state, and what percent kind of comes to the, back to the county?
Right. The formula is, you would have to be a statistical PhD mathematician to understand how that thing is put together, but it
right.
works.
Yep.
And effectively, we're looking at a little over $200 million generated annually from the 10-cent tax.
Right.
Of which just it's right around 50% of that goes to the Iowa Department of Transportation. The other portions of those monies are split between cities and counties.
Correct.
And the counties receive 33% of that. I think it's like 33, does that sound right? 33% off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And then the cities get the rest. So that percentage that comes to the counties is divided based on the formula.
Right.
And you know, the spreadsheet shows you who all gets what and how the breakdown is, and if that's what you
yeah. guess. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So we, if the DOT is getting half, then you said 33%, do we get a third of the other half, or we get a third of the total?
The
counties.
The portion that goes to the counties is divided amongst 99 counties
Correct.
In the state of Iowa. And the formula determines based on population, roads,
miles of road, that sort of thing.
And other factors. And then that's what you get out of that. So of that 33% or $33 million, basically, because we're talking 100.
I see.
Yeah, what is it? Oh, $67 million. And we'd be looking at, we get $1 million out of that. 1.1 million
Mike,
out of that.
Yep.
It's safe to say that that's another political fight.
Yeah, the road use tax. Yeah.
Their urban areas believe that they get an unfair proportion of the road use tax fund.
They get too much?
That they don't get enough.
Oh, really?
And that the formula should change.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the arguments we made is, if you bring the formula argument into the fuel tax, you'll never get the fuel tax passed.
Correct.
Because if you want to talk about Civil War, that will be it.
Yep.
So, you know, cities and counties believe the state takes too much. Urban cities believe the counties take too much. Urban counties believe the rural counties take too much. And you know, you have urban legislators opposed to the fuel tax because they're not getting a fair share. One of them locally, I reminded them about how much money went into 80 and is going to go into 380. And, you know, if you put those in the hopper, are we getting a fair share or not?
Yeah.
But the formula doesn't favor us.
Yeah.
That's safe to say.
Well, I mean, let's get on this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting Thanks. A whole bunch of money. Yeah. Our proposal, this is the thing.
We Please don't use language like that.
Our proposal?
A whole bunch.
Oh.
Because it implies that we can do everything. And I think that the expectations here are going to be so high that what we just saw is going to be repeated over and over and over again.
Everyone's going to be coming in saying,
so your language
you have
matters.
All this extra money.
Okay.
This money is really important, but roads are expensive.
Because
this isn't even going to buy us a mile of road a year. And I think that people need to understand that. And I'm happy we're getting it, but it doesn't even buy a mile of rebuilt road. IWV is going to cost what per mile? Right. So your language matters. So as we're talking about this, let's...
That's a good idea. We all should have that message.
Framing.
Yeah, framing.
Thank you. I'll take that.
You're right.
When we make the presentation.
Still a lot of money. That's why. But in terms of...
He's an engineer.
Okay.
We need to train you in public speak as an engineer.
Well, some of us don't deal with that kind of money.
Okay.
What we tried to do with this is we tried to go for a couple of different tax on this. T-A-C-K, not tax with an X. What we'd like to do is have some immediate impact. We feel that there are projects that are in our existing pipeline that were not already far enough along in the design, but far enough that we can actually do something with them with this money quickly. We had unfunded MRPs prior to this. What we did with this plan is we funded them. We said the funding was to be determined. We said, well, the state legislature gave us some money based on the fuel that is purchased, and we're going to use that money to fund those MRP programs. One of the reasons we do that is because those are kind of quick. You know, they don't require a lot of design work. And some of these other projects we listed on here, Sutliff Road in 2015, this is an opportunity to extend the project we were going to do anyway. It was in our MRP. We were going to do, I think it was $120,000 originally. The same set of plans can be used to stretch that out a little bit, and that's what we're going to recommend a little later. And we actually have our own set of slides for just that. Wapsie Avenue in 2016, that was one where it was a project that's already in the hopper, but now we're going to maybe extend it or do something a little bit better solution, possibly. Do you want to talk about Wapsie at all?
Before
just what we just in added, case everyone's gone, but you're talking south of Lone Tree.
Right. Yes, yep. Down to the
county
line.
So if you could just, like, mention.
Yeah.
Because not everybody knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, the stretch of Wapsie Valley that we've been talking about is actually from what road? It's like a mile south of Lone Tree is where
it is. There's a section of Lone Tree just south of
660th Street.
Right, and it would go to the county line. And there's a section of it just south of Lone Tree that is in good shape, so we're going to, where that starts or begins, we're going to pick up from there and run it to the county line.
Okay, so 660th Street is right here on your screen.
Mm-hmm.
And the county line is down here at the bottom of this little S-curve. So that project will go like that.
So
up to there.
If it's going to be mill and fill.
The original
plan widen
was
the base?
To do like a mill and fill. But now, as Ed's kind of been pointing out, that we have the opportunity where it won't take a whole lot more work in the plans to make it a little bit more, to make that pavement structure add a little bit more to it. So we can add a little bit of width to it. And
can you define a little bit?
Are
we getting a paved shoulder or not?
I think given the, like, the estimate that we are using would put, add like 2 foot to each side, so make it like, take it from a 22 foot wide pavement to a 26 foot.
So we'd be striping it at 11 foot widths for the lanes, and then you would have, outside of that, we're talking several feet wider than what it will be on both sides of each lane.
So that's actually 3 feet, right?
Two.
If you do 11-foot lanes, that's 22. And how wide did you say it was going to be?
We're adding two feet.
It's 2 feet on each side.
Sides, yeah. So 13 feet.
It's 2 feet on each side.
Right.
Do we have any examples of that?
We do that picture one? Later on.
But have we done any of those?
I think the one to the county line is that.
I was wondering, Wapsie to Muscatine was what?
Yeah.
On 520th.
That's 28.
That's 28. So it is one less foot on each side.
Right.
Yeah, we're having different variations.
I got a picture of what that looks like, actually up in Linn County. That would go kind of along with our discussion.
So
the Eden Loop hits a little bit of
that. At that width, that's not what we call a paved shoulder.
Not really. It's more just to kind of protect that edge from the gravel from creating a rut right at the edge of the pavement and eventually deteriorating that edge.
We will have a 1 foot of rock shoulder outside of that, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to be dirt. So we have the 2 foot paved. We have another foot of rock. And that, again, you know, we've always been a proponent of trying to add additional width to any pavement that we do because it does protect that normal driving pattern or the normal driving patterns of vehicles that would stay between the striping, and it also allows for wider traffic that may get outside of that and could do damage to the edge of the road.
Explain again.
Is Highway 1 2 foot?
Which section?
What? I don't know.
Just go north to Solon, and then they put the stupid rumble strips in, so let's not count that.
I think it's a little wider than that.
Those are like 4 or 5.
Oh, I don't think they're that wide.
But, I mean.
Yeah, probably.
So is this just putting a new surface on?
Band-Aid.
This is, okay, so that's the question that we will have coming up here with Sutliff Road as well. Is,
well,
it has to do with this, like, are, can we accept 2 feet, can we accept 3 feet, or do we need
right.
4 feet?
Because it's not a complete reconstruction.
Yeah,
it
so,
is a, it's a Band-Aid for 15 to 20 years,
and
right?
And we've said on new constructions, we want wide paved shoulders. I mean, I think that's pretty much the gist
right.
of it.
Depending on the changes
Band-Aids,
up there,
what do?
We could get 20 years of life out of it. We're anticipating somewhere between 10 to 15.
Yeah.
But if we do nothing to it and or just do the minimum
okay.
of maintenance, we're
right.
going to be in worse shape than we would be if we...
And I think that's just the...
That's reality.
When we rebuild them, we want wide paved shoulders. When we are mill and filling, if we get any more space, we're happy for it. But we can't really say that's a paved shoulder.
That's not a paved shoulder.
Right.
But the question is, as again, the conversation with WAPSI, we had quite a bit for almost a good 45 minutes in our liaison meeting, and that is, what's 4, what's 3, what's 2, and do we get beyond now? We're not milling and filling anymore. Now we're reconstructing, and now it's... That's hit a different trigger.
So doing that 2.7 will cost $800,000. That's what this says. $500,000 from farm to market and $300,000 from fuel tax, new fuel tax. Okay.
And then you know the other question I'll ask, and that is, if you added another foot on each side, you know, is it worth looking into? Do you know what I mean? Is it worth the extra? Is it $50,000, $70,000?
Cause regrading, right? Is that what
or
your problem is?
Or does it change the project? Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, it's almost as if it's worth knowing, because if we can get an extra foot, or maybe it's 6 inches of more and 6 inches of gravel, or whatever, you know, I mean, I don't know how the maintainers work.
Right, certainly the wider you go, you bring in other construction factors.
Yeah.
One of them... Also, is always looked at as the structures, any structures that we have, because by widening the top, we then have to widen all of those cross pipes that go in there because we're building out the fore slope, which increases construction materials being in there. So when you try to evaluate to stay with this type of a function to make the best bang for the buck without having to do major regrading activities or major culvert extension activities. So this is kind of what we're proposing based on what we've evaluated out there that I think really would give us an extended life on the pavement. May not be what we all would like to see out there, but at least it is an improvement, and we can at some time in the future readdress that and come back and really do it right, effectively.
So you're saying 10 to 15.
Well, we're always conservative.
I mean, you may get 20, but on the conservative side...
We're still going to be doing maintenance out there. I mean, Kevin already... I mean, we're going to have issues. We're going to be cracks. We're going to be putting pavement stripings down. We're going to... You know, all these things are still going to take place. But the way that this, you know, the surface is now, adverse to us coming in and doing intermediate construction activity until we can come back and do something really appropriate and maybe consider doing the paved shoulders, which... we've seen in our reconstruction projects, I think this is a good option to get us moving and maintaining the surface, which, you know, we greatly
And that would be done next summer, not this summer.
Right.
Okay. But this summer, you're planning on Sutliff Road.
Well, maybe. We're going to have a pretty good discussion over that, because we actually need quite a bit of guidance on this.
All right. Let's go.
All right. Back to this then. Okay. So the other things that we're doing with this money right away... inflation's been eating us away for years. You know, roads cost more and we're getting less. This extra fuel tax revenue is going to allow us to budget about $400,000 more per year. That's what comes in, plus what comes into our farm to market account, which is an additional $200,000. And then we're going to do some increased maintenance with it. Additional crack sealing, pavement patching, adding back to our chip seal miles. We've been steadily trickling those away for years. We don't maintain as much chip seal as we ever did. We'd like to start bringing some of that back, so Kevin's going to be doing some more chip seal, hopefully, with some of this.
And when Ed is mentioning more chip seal, what he's referencing is maintaining more of our existing miles, not adding new miles. But the additional budget allows us to really get back to the basics. We have lots of seal coat out there. This is going to allow us to extend the life, because we will be able to reseal more miles of surface.
All right, so here's the more political reality of that. Nobody recognizes that as a project in this, out in the public. They want us to be able to say, for your additional fuel tax, you got this bridge, you got this road, you got this. They could care less about you got five more miles of chip seal or a crack sealing. We need to do that, but I just don't think it's a great idea to say, oh, that was paid for with fuel tax, because that is not what makes people feel better about paying more money. What makes them feel better is when a bridge that was embargoed or weight limited gets replaced, a road actually gets rebuilt. And this is just my advice to you. Your language matters and your projects matter, because it's just not sexy enough to say we did a little more crack sealing. I mean, frankly, it just, oh, great, you charge me more money for that? I mean, people don't measure that. I do. I've talked to you all the time about crack sealing, but I'm weird.
Yeah, you can't take somebody out and show them a bridge.
Right, this is what we did with your fuel tax money.
I mean, you actually put a name on something, it's probably better for the public to actually have a name on a project, maybe.
Probably we'll frame it the way we need to frame it, which is, or spin or whatever else, but it's basically, you know, preserving and enhancing the life and of a particular road. I mean, that's, we just have to come up with the right language. Mm-hmm.
As long as we're not building a pipeline.
Yeah.
The pipeline is on that page. Okay, so that's our short-term stuff. Then we all do some long-term impact. This is, again, we're increasing the scope and or length of projects that are already in there. 120th Street's a really good example. If you look out in calendar 19, 120th Street from now to be including the 600 feet, but from Swisher's west corporate limits all the way to the county line is done in 1 year. That we did by adding that $1.55 million in fuel tax. That money went into the savings. We're building up our reserves a little bit on that one. And then we're going to use that money to do a more of a bigger project out a little further. But the intermediate ones are the hard ones because you can't quite plug those in. Those dollars don't plug in nicely there. But when you have that 19 project out there, you can really plan for this money and use it in a wise fashion to get you a much better product. Our goal is to actually get up to about 5 miles a year. We got to do something with every bit of road we got. We got 150 miles. We'd like them to last for at least 30 years, and frankly, most of the stuff we got out there is 30 years old.
Or more.
Unless it's new. You know, so it's not in great shape, but it'll get you there. We'd like to get at least 5 miles a year paved. Because 30 years, 5 miles a year, 150 miles.
So I had nothing to do with your revising this, but I'm just going to tell you that I look at this and I say, okay, I paid 4 months of fuel tax in calendar year 15. I'm going to pay calendar year 16. I'm going to pay calendar year 17. I'm going to pay calendar year 18. And all I got for that, which was, I can't add up, you know, 16, 17, 18, $3,400,000 was $800,000 of projects. See, holding off to spend the money till 19, people could tar and feather us for that. I mean, they want projects done now. They don't want a project done in 19. And you know, they want a new bridge or they want a new road. And so, you know, I look at this and I say, you taxed me and received funds of $3.4 million and I only got $800,000 of projects out of it. Now, in 16, you have two projects coming on. I get that. But we need to put some stuff in the bank. We need to have gotten some stuff done. And I think we need to look at a bridge project because, you know, some of these weight-limited bridges need to get moved up here with this fuel tax money. If I'm a rural resident, I look at this and say, what did I get out of this?
So can we, that's a question, can you use your funding creativity to basically say the funding is going to go towards this versus this for 19? In other words, can we switch some things around? I mean, what's it matter, other than what it is on paper?
And like, you could, correct me if this is wrong, but like, you could pay for all the MRP projects out of the...
Out of the fuel tax.
We are funding MRT.
I'm saying, can you say that that is what we're going to use?
Okay.
Save the tax dollars. You know, save our property tax dollars up. And
I need to see some orange in every year. That's the message I'm sending you.
I mean, it's not as big a deal to me. I think once they get first. They've got something each of the first 2 years.
Y'all see what's being said here?
Yeah, crystal clear.
It's not.
What we can do, and this is great conversation. This is what, in preparation of getting this out there, the green projects should be orange. We've got MRP green MRP projects that now are funded as part of this program. So that also is that I think where you are all wanting to see that activity as well, because before they weren't funded. Now they are because they have the additional...
That's the message I'm sending.
Oh, you mean some of the purple should have more orange on it? Or
yeah, just switch...
purple projects, not the green ones.
Yeah, switch some funding around so that it's...
So that fuel tax is in every year. I mean, that people can see that this increased fuel tax actually accomplished something.
I think that's a good message. I mean, it's the same difference. We're still spending... the same amount of money. We're still doing the same amount of projects. It's just the message of, with these additional dollars, we're paying for some of these MRP projects.
Yeah. I mean, they
or the bridge reconstruction down here. I mean,
on the other side, though, then we don't get credit for it for what we're using our property taxes for.
It don't matter.
You're going to get beat up either way.
No, I think that's definitely true. We lose no matter what.
This gets more attention, though.
I think what you have to do is kind of... watch too, and matching funds when you have to match that up with something else to get another funding process in way.
We can show the orange anywhere you want. That's one of the reasons we're here.
Yep.
So we can hear this conversation. Absolutely. We want to know what we need direction. What we're showing on the slides are projects that we thought were. If you had to identify a single project to somebody, they came in and said, "What did I get?" And what I'm hearing is you'd like to show them that they're getting more. And so maybe, you know, Ely Road Phase 3 in year 17 shows $1.2 million in farm to market funding and $300,000 worth of orange.
Yeah, because that's a little... It's
all the same pie.
Yeah.
There's a certain amount of funding that has to be used for farm to market off of that formula. So
I'm only asking
that.
You to
I think it's a good idea.
Understand that in order for us to continue to raise taxes for roads... we need people to be behind us.
Oh,
and so you have to play a little bit of a game here that crack ceiling's not sexy, but these are. And so you just need to put some more orange in here and rearrange the money.
Well, that is something that we will reflect on.
I know Bears thinks crack ceiling's sexier. Merps are sexy. Merps are sexy.
So the projects are all going to get done. It's just we're going to move the orange around
is what
you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
We'll be actually reflecting more orange where the actual expenditures are taking place to cover it.
Is RJ about to leave and he wanted to talk about Sutliff or Newport?
I was going to send Josh down, but if you're ready to talk about whatever the road reform standards are, I'm here.
What do we want to talk about? Go ahead.
I mean, for one thing, are we going to be here till 4? What's our plan here? Seriously, how long are we?
Well, he said 2. So I don't know how we're
I didn't say 2. We all agreed to 2.
Yeah. 2 is good for it, not so much.
Yeah. So I think we need
on this, we've got direction.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have some additional 5-year program discussion. We had a Manor Road already. Next thing up was Newport Road. We were asked to give us some data that we have now. This is everything I could find.
We were emailed some new data.
Right. We did. Well, actually, we received copies of it. Do you have those numbers you want to chat about that?
This is...
This is what I found on the internet.
Yeah. There is preliminary data that just came out of the new count.
So
RJ, can you fill in the blanks?
I don't have it. Yes, RJ Moore, Planning and Zoning Department. With Greg's help and Adam Gephardt at IT, we were able to get Iowa DOT preliminary data for this one is for Newport Road in Prairie du Chien, and the road average daily traffic count for that is 1,047. The other one segment we got was for Newport Road in Sugar Bottom, which they have a preliminary, and it is preliminary, ADT at 994, which suggests that those counts have went down in the last 4 years. Greg has told me, though, once the DOT gets these out to his staff, they go over them and look at them for any kind of inconsistencies or whatever.
Traffic patterns for whatever reason.
And then they'll review them and then get back to the DOT, I think, with any questions or comments they have. So, but I know because of something that's coming to you next month, rezoning, is people wanted the most recent counts, but this is all we can get are these preliminaries right now.
So you literally could take this side and have the preliminary 2014 count there, right?
So what I had is for Newport and Sugar Bottom Road, the count is 994. Okay. And then...
And the other one's
1,047, and that was down at Newport Road in Prairie du Chien.
What we'll do to this slide, I can just add that, you know, where you see 2006, 2010, 2000, I'll add one that says 2014, and those two numbers will be.
Well, yeah. I think the issue is that certain people argue that roads are unsafe.
1047.
What is the road performance standard number for a chip seal road?
That's 2000.
2000 via AADT. Per day. And while, I mean, I think our staff believes the number hasn't climbed in the last 4 years because there hasn't been new building permits there, and that 10 might have been high because of, you know, there was road construction stuff going on that might have changed routes. I mean, the numbers that we were given by DOT for 14 doesn't change this argument at all, right?
Well, it sure doesn't appear to, and I was also, Greg helped me find some, I think, 9 or 10 years where the crash history out there again, and I went through it briefly this morning, and it's kind of like during another rezoning we had off of Newport Road a couple years back, the Dooley one, is this crash data that they have available, it's telling us the same thing as... Yes, there's been accidents there. Most of them are driver error, so to speak, and or under the influence.
So, I mean, if you go back a couple of years ago, I was and remain very interested in creating a scenic roads ordinance. I know we got kind of bogged down because Wisconsin had setbacks that we don't actually agree with, but I am of the opinion that some of these chip seal roads that I consider scenic, I do not want them flattened, straightened, and take all the character out of the road. But I do want us, and obviously we don't have the money yet, to begin to talk about a different surface on those roads. Because chip seal after chip seal after chip seal has created this at the ditch edges, you know, big, deep piles, and lane markings matter to people, and we hear that on Sand Road, and we can't add lane markings cost effectively to a chip seal road. So, I mean, but I don't want to take some of the roads that I believe give the character of this county and turn them into highways. I mean, I just have zero interest in that, but I do have an interest in beginning the discussion about scenic roads and how we can have a better surface on them
and have pavement markings. But based on all the road count data you have, Newport Road can absorb another 800 cars a day, right? Basically.
800 to 900.
All right. And I just want to put it out there. We're not going to get to it in this road plan, but I do want us to think about this in the future, is come back to the scenic roads, different surface on certain chip seal roads. And, you know, it's the ones that the Sunday afternoon drive roads that I don't want to see them straightened and curves out. And this is going to give Greg heartburn, but, you know, you travel all over the country to drive roads like that. We could do it too. And have concrete or asphalt and pavement markings.
Or ditch and sidewalk. I've seen it all around the United States.
Right. And so,
but you don't correct the road, you actually add. But it's paid for by local dollars.
I mean, we're not getting to it right now, but I still want us to keep that on the radar of, you know, there's five or six roads I consider really scenic, and I want us to think about another way to handle them down the road. But right now, there's nothing about that road count that would move that to anything we're worried about, right?
Well, the number I was referencing is only a reflection of what is in the road performance standards.
Right.
Yeah. And that, you know, the general, from an engineering standpoint, the general rule of thumb, when you start getting over 1,000 to 1,500 vehicles a day, you should be looking at different types of surfacing or different design guidelines that you should be following just because of the increased traffic. And that's my engineering side of it, Janelle, so you guys have to hear that.
Yeah, but I would also slow the speed down, which would change everything. I mean, on scenic roads, I don't believe you should be going 55 miles an hour. They're scenic for a reason. So anyway, I just wanted to raise that as, you know, a year from now when we're back here in the fall, I'm going to bring this up again. I want us to start thinking about a few roads.
And it might be something to potentially even add into the land use plan as guidance. Maybe that's where it falls into play.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
It's on your list, I know.
Okay, Sutliff Road. This is an opportunity for us. We were going to do something out there this year, no matter what. As you all know, Ragbri is coming through at some point. I talked with Kevin. If we do nothing, the do-nothing option, which is always an option, we would still have to go out there and patch that up, probably crack seal some of it, or, well, what we'd have to do is probably squeegee some crack seal material in there because it's just so far gone in some places.
Squeegee.
Jinx.
I'm not kidding. Squeegee. Literally, you just have to kind of smear glue gun. Crack stuff around because there's no way to actually fill each individual crack. You'd be there all day. Or you mark what we can't patch. I've seen that on previous rag.
But no toilet paper.
No. I'm talking about like red marks, like, hey, there's a cliff right here next to the arena. You've seen it. They try to, and riders try to tell each other and all that, but we have to do that just from a liability standpoint. But I don't think that represents all the good work we're doing here in Johnson County very well. What you see there is on the left is that's what it's going to look like to all those folks when they ride in off of the pavement to the right. That's what Linn County did north of us. So there's this brand.
Was that a reconstruction or a mill and fill?
That was an overlay.
It's
so a grind and overlay?
No. This is a concrete overlay. Concrete overlay.
Right.
Like, oh, it's a concrete overlay.
But it's just narrower. This is a 26-foot paved top that you're seeing on the right there.
So we could do something like this and match up with Linn County.
But we would be doing this in the short time frame we're looking at. We would be using hot mix asphalt. We're not doing a concrete overlay on this. We'd never get it done in time.
Okay. No, but that's...
But we were planning on doing around the bridge because we just couldn't afford anymore.
That's right.
A mill and fill or an overlay?
Mill and fill.
Mill and fill. Basically same thing.
Yeah.
So an option is do the mill and fill on a longer distance because we would now have money to do that. Because you wanted to do it anyway, we just didn't have the money.
Right.
I mean, Ragbri really has nothing to do with that per se. But my question is, you're starting at the county line to match up with Linn County, but you're not getting us to Highway 1.
Okay. this is where we need the guidance.
Okay.
Because we had several options. We presented at least a couple that we thought were a pretty good idea to our liaisons last time.
And then we came up with more.
And then they came up with a whole mile more. And actually,
for all of you to weigh in.
I kept saying things, and then I kept digging my hole deeper. And I really have to actually thank our technician, Paul, because he did most of the estimating for me. He did a lot of work.
No, I just thought you were going to thank the liaisons, but whatever.
No. And actually, the liaisons guidance is very helpful.
Just kidding.
This is what we had previously had in there, about $120,000. We were just going to do what's in orange. Just that piece is the piece we didn't crack seal before because it's too far gone to do anything with it.
Right.
So that's all we were going to do. And whether we do a mill and fill or just overlay, and actually, as we've gotten further into this, it looks like actually just putting stuff over the top. Leave everything there that's there. Because if you start digging into it, you might really cause problems. So we're now talking about doing like a leveling wedge and then an overlay on top of that a little bit. We can do this. This is a very temporary fix. It would fix that little piece.
No, it's not temporary. I mean, define temporary.
Temporary being maybe 10 years, and you're going to see cracks in it probably a year later. It's not going to look great. It will fix some, and it'll be, but this number only includes 22 feet wide. That's paving over exactly what is there, not widening at all.
All right, go on.
Okay. Next option. These are the new ones. This started happening after we talked to the liaisons. So what we said, well, what if we went all the way to where, and it doesn't show up very good on this map, but where the west end of that is, that's that oil road that runs down to Solon. This is where, if there's bikes from Johnson County heading out to the Sutliff area, they would be riding on that oil road coming out of Sutliff. They'd get up to the 140th Street. They'd make the right turn on Sutliff Road, and they would follow that. And the end of that is at the new old bridge access, if that makes any sense to anybody.
So at least we found a node that would get to at least old Sutliff Road.
Right. And, right. I mean, conservation is going to want to pave that and have a parking in the old access coming up.
Well,
there's actually where you stopped right there, the part west of that is actually in much better shape.
It is.
than the part east.
And I'll explain why.
Right.
This piece that you're looking at right here was redone in 1996.
Okay, so that's why it's in better.
It's in better shape. It has more structure to it.
So, but this, you're not going to the county line, you're just starting on the...
Right. The liaisons asked us and said, look, you know, what are we doing for our residents?
Right.
Let's go from where the oil lets off, let's get them to that new, call it a tourist drive, it's a brand new cool bridge, let's go look at that, right?
And I mean, they're not ready yet, but they are going to want to asphalt that access and put parking in there.
We've already been talking to Larry about that.
And Larry was actually curious what it would cost to put a small strip in this year.
So what would this?
This would cost about, okay, now what we did here, I estimated it for 26 feet wide. So we're going to pave and do a little base widening. We're going to get from that 22-foot pavement to the 26. So we're going to base widen 2 feet and put 2.5 inches of new HMA over the top, which will last you a pretty good long time. If you consider 2.5 inches is what they put on Highway 1, I think, going north out of Solon to Mount Vernon. That's about a 2.5 inch overlay.
And 26 feet is what Linn County has?
26 feet is what Linn County has.
At
so they said,
end.
Well, what if we matched that?
Yeah.
Said, okay.
And then you would stripe it 11 foot?
Yes, correct.
And
so
this
you still have a 2 foot shoulder out there, just
this is
like they do.
Similar to what we would do with WOTC then from south of Lone Tree?
Yes.
Pretty much the same thing. So now
same
we're starting
exactly.
to get, and this game got into the precedent and why we really wanted board buy-in, mm-hmm. and that is, are we setting up a little bit of a precedent of if we're going to just do these kinds of 15-year fixes at minimum, do we try to get to a 26-foot wide? And that's kind of what Linn County has done.
But Linn County doesn't do wide paved shoulders, period, like we do.
No, but I mean, as far as just at least getting to the minimum standard.
But I think that's fair. If we're not rebuilding the road, and if we wait to rebuild them, we'll never get caught up. And, you know, while we can't put that on a map and call it a wide paved shoulder, it will give people a little bit of buffer and a little bit of comfort. And you know, the drivers, I mean, you're still going to have to be out in the road lane, but I just...
I mean, it's better on the road. It's better on everybody. So I think it's a fine standard to have.
We
would prefer to have 5 foot. Well, yeah, you know that.
Absolutely. We would. All of us would. One of the things to consider when we're looking at these, you know, extensions of life on our pavements, the additional thickness that we're putting on these roads, we're going to be recycling that back into, or the next group that designs it is going to be recycling that back into the existing pavement. So we're reusing. It will all be reused in some future project. So we're trying to utilize green reusable activities as best we can, because we know that that's going to be reused. So it's not lost money. We extend the life of it. We'll reuse it into whatever is being accomplished or completed at some time in the future.
I guess one of my concerns here is that I think this is a section of road that we're basically creating tourism, and if we're not making that wide enough similar to the sand road and it's going to be cracking, I think we're going to have a lot of maintenance problems that we're going to have to deal with over these years. To me, I'd soon have it done correctly. If we're going to do it, you know, we can fix it up for Ragbriar or whatever. At the same time, I think we certainly need to be looking at the long-term picture, because it's going to be needing repairs throughout that time duration to so you don't have cracks in the pavement for bicycle tires and things.
If you go with this 2.5 inches,
yeah, that's like Highway 1.
You're buying 10 years, right?
10 to 15.
Because, 15. I mean, it's going to, if we're going to redo the road.
That's a different deal.
We're out that many years to start with. I mean, rebuilding the road isn't on this list or the future project. So,
it's much more expensive, obviously.
If we're going to completely rebuild it, we're out 10 or 15 years anyway. This is a... because if we just sit here and wait, it'll be 15 years until we put money into this road.
What's the terminology
because
we want to use?
Herbert Hoover, IWV, Ely Road, all of those are higher priorities. American Legion. So this 2.5 inches of new overlay, I mean,
something
that's substantial. I mean,
didn't we just add the sections of that width on that just a few years ago?
Well, where we have roadways, and Kevin, you can probably add to this, chime in, where we have problems where we are continually going in and doing shoulder maintenance on narrow roads, we've devised an internal program where what we've done is we have a milling head attachment to the front of our skid loaders. We'll go in and we'll mill out 2 feet, 18 inches, isn't it? We'll mill down, we'll put some rock in there, and then we put asphalt in there. And what that does, it's an additional cost for the maintenance, but it also minimizes our staff from being in a location where we have traffic on curves where we're just trying to, and also those that run off the edge of the road.
Just little edge.
It's a little wedge, I guess, an asphalt wedge. And we've seen good success out of that. I don't know if you have
Highway 965, you put a little something on there where I ride my bike.
Right.
We like to do that in the curves.
Yeah,
correct. Like Greg said, this is just one option. And my bottom bullet point there is this is a stepping stone to a cold-in-place recycling project later. So all that material that we put out there is going to get reused. Mm-hmm. That oil that is in there is going to get reused, and it's actually going to give us a better thing eventually. But the reason we needed the guidance is we went from $120,000 project to $900,000. We don't fix the part that's the worst.
I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, timing-wise and everything, I think it makes a lot of sense.
With this option, if the board is not in their head, I guess it. We've had some internal discussion. Before, it was a small MRP project. The cost was less than what it is. When we jump into this range, after my meeting last week at ISAC, the DOT's kind of referenced that you probably ought to be adding this as a construction project instead of doing it as a MRP because of the cost and the scope of the activities out there.
So with the new fuel tax and with the money we were already targeting for this, how much money can you make available for Sutliff Road?
What's the maximum we can get out of this? This would probably be pretty close. $900,000 is a lot of money. We would be basically borrowing ahead a little bit on that fuel tax. Like you noted, we're getting 4 months now. 4 months at about $80,000 a month, about $320,000, and we're going to use $600,000 of it. So basically, if we let this through our construction project and we use farm-to-market funds on this, we can borrow against that account because we know the receipts are coming. It's just a matter of when.
So we can, I think we can go at least this high, 900,000. We could fund this. We can even fund this if we were doing it as a maintenance project. That's kind of why.
And that's the
only reason why they show up this way.
That would leave this section that's in the option B undone.
Yeah, and that's my problem with this plan. I really like this idea. My problem is that the part that really needs the most work doesn't get any work in here with this option. But this serves our residents by getting them to the Sutliff area, to that new conservation land, all that good stuff. So bear with me.
You prefer option C?
Well, we'll go. Okay, option B is to do the other part. Get the part done that's broke. Basically the same thing. We're widening to 26 feet, but here we're going to add a little bit of a leveling and strengthening course in there because that's the piece that didn't get as much structure to begin with. And we would do that segment that's just the worst part of it, is that S curve right from the bridge to the west end there. That's that 1985 paving. So those two paving projects happened almost exactly 10 years apart. And you can look and see that if you wait, you know, from 1985 to 2015, that's 30 years that pavement that's shown here in red has been sitting out there. So that's what an asphalt pavement after 30 years looks like with pretty poor condition. I mean, there's not a lot of structure there. And it did all right. And then the 1996 paving project that went to the west and all the way to Highway 1, obviously that's in a little better shape. It's got more structure and stuff like that. So this part I was going to put a little bit of extra asphalt on to try and bring that strength up to the strength of the other one. That way when everything gets done as maybe one giant cold-in-place project after I'm retired, all of that's ready to go. That's one option. It's about $730,000. We still get 26 feet. That's a pretty typical thing. The problem here is we don't get all the way to where the road turns down to Solon. So we're not doing as long of a project. Option C is if you let us shoot the moon, this goes the whole way and does all 4.35 miles of that.
We'll let you do it, but where are you stealing the money from?
Well, the money, if we do this construction project, like Greg says, you get into this $1.6 million, we would be using farm-to-market funds, mm-hmm. and we'd let this. So.
And they wouldn't be able to get it done in June.
Well, we think this one could happen. I haven't recommended anything that won't happen, but we will need the board's help to fast-track it if we're going to get it done by June 30th, which is the goal.
So now you're seeing the options.
All right, done.
If you go to this option D, you're not widening it.
Correct.
You're doing. Is it the same amount of overlay or it's less?
This is actually considerably less.
So
this
how long is it supposed to last?
Well, this is only 2 inches total. So you know every inch matters when you're starting to.
That seems like a waste of money to me.
I don't like this option very much.
I mean, because you said it could start cracking in a couple of years, right?
Oh, I think
all
even
of them are
gonna
crack.
That's right. We're gonna be crack sealing it probably the following summer after doing
the heat just does that. But this is only 2 inches of overlay, where this other one is 4, right?
No.
With leveling and the new.
This keeps going the wrong way. Sorry, I can't PowerPoint today. And we're here. All right, there we go. So now, this is the big project. We get everything done, improves everything that needs to get improved. We're pretty close to doing 5 miles this year. This is the one that makes me the happiest. But in this one, we get a total of 3.5 inches of extra material on that bad part. We'll call it the 85 project. We get 2.5 inches of material on the better part, the 1996 project. I think that would last a good 20 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to see cracks in it. They're going to come through. They're going to reflect through. I'm not doing anything to stop that, like doing a cold-in-place project. But that just jumps the price to the point where it's not happening.
Take C and D and tell me your anticipated lifespan.
Well, I mean, can we just eliminate D? I don't like D, frankly.
Yeah, D. I mean,
just,
I think...
Can we just take it off
the
table?
I like B and C and just determine if we can fund. It'd be nice, you know, to at least get it from node to node. Yep. That makes some sense to me, but can you come up with those dollars and what gets sacrificed in between?
B was this one, which only does the piece that's north of the bridge. That's the part that needs.
If we can eliminate D, if we all think that's kind of good money after bad,
that's what it
then
seems
we've only
like
got
me.
Three. So it sounds like
I just
are,
what my mind is wrapping around.
There's an E,
there's an E, so. But that gets real wide.
Well, it doesn't sound like that one. Doesn't interest either.
D stands for dog.
I think we're not doing E. That's a that. It's too expensive, and we're not getting a new road.
Well, this one is pretty close. This one actually gets you a 3 foot. That's the big difference on this one. This puts 3 feet of base widening out there. So this gives you a 28-foot paved top, which is what we did down in Wapsie. This is a bigger paved shoulder. This gets the worst segment taken care of, and it still has about 3.5 inches of total new asphalt on it. So 3.5 inches of asphalt lasts you a good long time.
So
this,
what's
this fixes it a little bit better, but actually fixes it to a level that's a little higher than what Linn County did. But this is closer to what we like to do in Johnson County as far as how wide that shoulder gets.
But
so
it doesn't.
You were asking, that's what happens when you start adding that extra foot. You know, you're jumping from the 700 to the 850.
So if you do, it's 730,000, or if you do it the way you would prefer to do it, is 843 or 846. Sorry.
The difference is, that shorter. See, that only goes basically, that doesn't get to Sutliff, Old Sutliff Road. That stops at.
Yeah, B and E are very similar. E gets a little wider.
That's the only difference. They're the same length, right?
Correct.
Those two, the
difference is you get the bigger shoulder that the board likes, and that's why I put that one in there, because I thought maybe you'd like that one.
But that goes to where?
Same
distance.
B and E are the same except for the width of the pavement.
Correct. Right, but it
and the price, obviously.
How far does that go up? Doesn't get to Sutliff Road, though.
No. Sutliff Road is to the west.
It just goes west of the access to the Sutliff
What I'm suggesting is getting this project up to Sutliff Road. That's the question.
Oh, okay. So
that gets back.
So you like either the A option, which gets you all the way to Sutliff Road. A or C, which also gets you all the way to Sutliff Road, and D also does it, but it doesn't have as much structure in it. I started getting a little bit scared when I started looking at how much C was going to cost me.
Yeah.
That one gets into that's a pretty big project.
I mean, I understand you're wanting to do the worst part.
Oh, yeah.
That makes some sense.
All of them.
Well, but like, so that doesn't actually get the worst part.
Well, this one does.
No, they all get the worst.
Option A gets it done.
I thought you said the worst part was the part that goes north south.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yep. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Oh.
I'm looking at the wrong slide now.
Without reshuffling projects with the new money, you can get together 900,000. You can get together 1.1 million.
If we use this as a construction project, I can go all the way to 1.6 because I can borrow ahead on our final market
fund. 1.6.
Yes.
Okay.
I can afford everything.
We can do E. And get a 28-foot wide pavement, but you're only going to get to the other side of the bridge.
Correct.
And that'll cost us $850.
Yep.
We skip D because we don't want to do the cheap one.
Okay.
We can do 1.6 and do it all, but it's going to be 26 feet as opposed to 28.
Right.
Or we can do it in two parts. It, you know, A and B equal C. So the option is, do you want 28 feet or 26 feet? And that's the question.
That's for
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why we came to you.
And all I'm suggesting is that because this is a temporary new kind of approach, I can live likely with a 26-foot top. That's where I'm.
All right, so you're an ABC guy.
Well, A doesn't get the whole thing done.
Right, neither does B. It's
right.
You can do it in two projects or one.
Right.
I'm fine with ABC combination, and get rid of E.
E and D are out.
Which ones are E and D? Show those again.
D was the one that this
That's
does everything.
The 22, yeah.
But it's pretty 22 thin.
22 foot wide.
And the E is 28.
E is 28. Wow, what happened there?
Yeah.
Picture there.
So E is 28 feet wide.
So here's my question.
More than Linn County.
We eventually wanted to do C. I mean, that's what we're starting to budget for.
Yep.
If we borrow ahead on farm to market, which we were trying not to do, but now that we're going to have sales tax, you know, it's not quite so scary. Can we get this bid out and done by July 1st? And I mean done, not we got rained on.
Okay.
That's
the fast track.
Maybe I should address this.
We can let this project with farm to market monies locally. So we can do a local letting for this. I've already talked to the DOT about it last week. Yes, we can. The thing that we are going to need from you is consideration, fast-tracking the amount of notices that we have to run through to get the bidding documents out there. Like, you're already approving this as part of the five-year, but we may skip the informal and go directly to formal for bid notice.
Let's just say we agree to all of that.
Okay. And you work with Nancy and you get all the real stuff done.
Yes.
Okay, but last year...
Oh, we always have a caveat.
We only... I mean, we have...
We're can-do
people. Yeah, we are.
You know, we only have one contractor that does asphalt.
Yes.
And they had overbid so many projects that everything was behind. Yes. Have you called them and asked them if they could get this done?
Yes. I did, actually, yeah.
Yes.
And they said they could get it done.
Yes.
Yes.
I said I try to give them the options of what we were going to be doing so they would have an idea.
Because not getting it done isn't an option.
Well, no.
I mean,
that's understood.
That's when our guys go out there and start.
Well, the nice thing about option C, you know, we could do the base widening for sure. I know we get that done. I know we can get that first intermediate layer on the top. I know that'll be done. And then if something happened where we couldn't quite get that surface on there, we'll make a stop that is absolutely, it'll be a nice, smooth, rolled, perfect road. It just may not have pavement markings on it. We've got options to stop. I think we've got enough time, especially if the board accommodates the fast track.
Well, worst case scenario, you know who we have. John Etheridge.
John will come.
John will
I'm for C then.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to spend the kind of money to go 28 feet because if we're going to do that, we might as well just rebuild the whole road and we don't have the money to rebuild the whole road.
Yeah.
And as opposed to spread this out over 2 years, if we do it in one because of the new sales tax, because we were going to do this anyway, it's just a matter of.
Yeah.
You know, do one section or the other, then I guess I'm for C, but only if we can be guaranteed it's done. If it's not, then we need to just crack seal it and move on.
To include this in our construction program, we would need to have the board approve an amendment to this existing fiscal year to include it. So I just want that's also a step that we have to have you all approve, and so they may be in the same meeting, so to speak, so that we get this thing fast tracked, but we may not go a full 4 weeks on the letting. We may shorten it up.
We're
2 weeks.
We're doing this in the light of day right now, and as long as everything is kosher with the auditor's office, that's all that matters.
I always have to throw that caveat of the weather function. If it rains every day, contractor, we're not going to be able to put down asphalt in the rain, but you know, if all the stars are lined up properly, the contractor understands if this is the only bidder we get that this would be a priority. And
I think if anything what you're hearing from us is you may want to just think an OMG plan if we have a scenario and how that would be corrected. And I think that would just be likely as a bunch of guys with squeegees out there.
No, one way to do it is they don't grind it all out at once. They grind the first part, they asphalt the first part.
This just goes on top of the surface.
Oh, you don't grind it at all?
We'll be doing widening, and you'll see a machine that's called a milling machine, and it's only 2 feet wide.
That's just
for the
size.
They're going to drop that little, and actually, that's like we did that on Dubuque Street a few years ago near the Interstate 80 bridge. Do you remember that maybe? We grind out 2 feet. They mill that material out to fill it up with the base widening material, and that asphalt paver. The what they call a road widener is usually following right behind the trench.
Oh, okay.
So that base widening and the excavation to do that base widening are going to happen at the same. It's a moving operation.
Mm-hmm.
That'll go very quickly. Then you got the intermediate course that goes over the top of it. Since we're only doing 2.5 inches and 1.5 inches, depending on which project we're in, it's a lot of trucks, but it'll get done fairly quickly. And then we could stop right there if we had to, you know.
Worst case scenario.
And the other nice thing about this is as we're cutting that trench, that's the part that gets you into trouble. When you're doing earthwork and it gets wet, then you stop. this, if it's raining, we don't do the earthwork and we don't put the pavement down. And so we're less likely to have trouble with weather on this one, and the contractor has assured me that, you know, if you know, we don't, like Greg said, if it rained every day, there ain't nothing we can do. No. But we
yeah,
do
but
have
I
some
listened to the
points.
Forecast, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
Like dry.
We think this is a pretty good project. And it's just a matter of, you know, if the board wants us to do this, we can do it. We can do I'm hearing option C.
Does this get the first part of the road?
I want C.
This does not get us all the way to Highway 1. It leaves us 3 more miles to get us to Highway 1.
But that was redone in 96, right?
But this gets the poorest part of the road that you already.
This gets us to the poorest part of the road and gets us to at least Old Sutliff Road.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Where it turns south and goes.
Everybody's talking. I haven't got a straight answer yet. Does it get the worst part of the road that you're talking about?
Yes, it does, Pat. Yes,
I heard that.
So if we go with option C, I'll just put this out there. I want you to look at finishing it in an out year.
Oh.
Because the part that you say is in good shape is not as in good a shape as, you know.
Yeah, but it might be better than others. I'd still want to weigh it against others.
No, I would weigh it, but I just said look at it. I didn't say do it.
No, it's in the exact same shape as the other piece.
Right, because we're doing a section that was built the same time.
Yeah.
Just look at doing it in an out year if you think it's worthy of it. Because I hate having a half-ass done road, frankly.
I wish I could do all 8 miles. That'd be a lot.
Yeah.
Or all 7.
It does fall under that future roads category, probably designation.
Want this to be on the future priorities?
Well, we're just going to have to weigh it, like we've told the folks from Amano, that, you know, everything gets...
Goes on the,
it's not on
goes on the list,
though.
And then we evaluate.
That just put it on an outlet year, a future list.
What is the Old Sutliff Road, when you go, say we do C... The road that a lot of the bikers take, the Old Sutliff Road, that's an oil...
That intersection.
That's right there. Right
yeah.
That,
that's the intersection. That's
well, what's that road down. Like?
Chip seal.
It's oil. Coat. Chip seals, yeah.
Yeah.
It's chip seal.
It's pretty good shape.
It's chip seal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been chipped for a long time.
They chipped
it
a couple of years ago, a big section
of
it.
Or any others.
Mm. It's pretty thick.
I will tell you, I would rather ride my bike on that chip seal surface than the current surface of 120th.
I think the motorcyclists agree with you, too.
180? Whatever this road is. 140.
Sutliff Road, 140th. And
yeah.
It's also called...
Like I said, I would rather ride my bike on the chip seal surface than the actual asphalt.
Lisbon
Road. It's also got two different county highway designators. It's F-14, and if you believe it, it's also part of F-12. But I haven't figured out how the DOT did that one.
So the direction, just to recap, is that option C is the preferred method.
Utilizing farm to market.
But the board would like some measure of assurance from the contractor that it will be completed by June 30th.
Well, we would stipulate that in our letting documents.
Yep.
And anybody that would bid on it would know crystal clear that that's what the expectation is.
So we are starting to set a precedent of, and that was back to that 26 feet wide type of...
I think that's fair. I mean, because if we all know we want to rebuild them and make them how many, 32 feet?
34
feet. I mean, that's our dream. 5 foot wide paved shoulders. But it's also, I mean, if we wait to do that, we'll be 20 years from now. So I think this is a fair precedence. I never can say that word to be set. I mean...
Well, that's what we've tried to show here is we're doing a combination of we're still trying to do some of the roads right, like we like them, and we're still trying to get some of those 26-foot roads out there to hold them all together until we can get to them and do them correctly. Because not doing anything to them is going to cost us a whole bunch.
Yeah, I like this on Wapsie and Sutliff. I like this plan.
That's one.
Yeah,
else?
I'm for C.
See.
Move forward.
All right, next.
That was all I have. I basically just needed some help with which option to pick and how much money to spend.
I've kind of went ahead on the list, and other than if you could move some oranges around for me, I think we've got a good plan. It's an aggressive plan. Things have to fall in line, and it relies on future bonding. And I think people need to keep that in mind. Now, if interest rates went nutty, that future bonding would be off the table. But, you know, this plan is really aggressive. And but I think that the expectations of us are to deliver. And I think we can do it unless interest rates go awry. That's just my play on it today. And there's no indication that's going to happen. So.
Okay, one of the things that Neil just brought up is if we bump this, that 590 in fuel tax on Sutliff Road M15-2, if that goes to $1.6 million, that's $1 million that isn't going to show up down lower. Right? Mm-hmm. We're going to spread that out a little bit more, but yeah. those project limits are going to change on 120th Street and Herbert Hoover, but those are in the out years anyway.
Yep.
So, you know, we didn't realize we're going to get a gas tax last year. You know, so everything we had planned for the next 5 years, we tried to incorporate it in here, and I think we just added to it, which is great. Mm-hmm. But like you said, if the interest rates change and the bonding goes away, then, you know, when you start talking 5 years out, it's really hard to...
And this board, we may look at, again, outlying years of taxation levels and look to bond additional dollars towards projects.
So we...
Yes. I think that's a really good point because we're going to have finished our, quote, capitals,
so we
which
have
means we have more capacity to put to roads if we chose to in bonding. And and that will be, you know, future boards will have to make that decision. But, yeah.
We will show the Sutliff Road project with amendments as expending in advance monies that we're going to be receiving from the increased road tax and our increased farm to market. So that will be mainly an orange project for us because the original budget on it was 130,000?
120.
So we're jumping that a whole bunch and we're borrowing ahead a whole bunch on those funds, additional funds that we're going to be receiving. So that's an immediate reflection of how those monies are going to be expended. So we're happy about that and good. Thank you. So from an orange, we're going to be all orange.
When you do that, is it going to affect future projects?
It does to some extent. Yes. One of the nice things about this fuel tax is that they actually lowered the restrictions a little bit on our farm-to-market account. But one of the reasons we kept it so close to zero was because if you got negative and you started borrowing ahead, you can only borrow ahead like 1 year, essentially. Now they've relaxed those a little bit. You can borrow ahead two full years, which would be over $2 million for us. So we're not even going to borrow that much. But
Ed, help me out here a little bit. Because you're using calendar years in FY17.
Yes.
What are you projecting we would bond?
Our total for 17 bonding is $2.5 million for IWV Road Phase 1B.
Because it says I thought it was only $1 million.
$1 million for Phase 1B, and IWV Road Phase 2 is at $1.5 million. So it's the little notes down at the bottom summarizing.
So in FY17, you're projecting us to bond 2.5?
2.5, okay. Which was our planning number.
All right.
And we hope that goes up like it did this year. That was fantastic, and we appreciate that very much.
Okay.
But we know that it doesn't always happen.
But if we could get it at closer to this $3 million level, which is what we're doing this coming fiscal year, then all of this adds up. Okay. All right. Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else on this?
Probably just deserves to be said again, but this is such a good document. I think this is just a model that other places could use. I love this. So readable compared to what we used to have.
Really,
really good.
Rob has worked very hard on this, but your input is what's generated.
Just tell Andy how to speed that process up, you know, because
we're
blue in the face, so we could just move it along quickly to final vote.
I do have an update on the basketball game.
Yeah.
It's a one-point game.
Yeah, I know, I saw it.
8:25 left. Iowa State's down by 1 point.
Yeah, I know.
It's been close all the way. I've been monitoring it.
Go watch the end.
Is there a place to go watch it close?
Haters.
Anybody need a couple minutes before we start mental health?
Yeah. Bring in MHDS because you have Chris coming in. Is that what's on next?
Yeah, Chris.
And Steven's
okay.
I got my wife
Thanks, guys. Go Clones.
We're going to take a couple minutes.
We continue to have the Trojan laptop, so even though you're in recess, the live stream will continue to stream the audio.
We have a recess basketball contest. I am rooting, rarely, but rooting for...
You know where Gators is? I think they have TVs for your lunch. Over here by Fin and Feather.
Oh, yeah.
You're like a half a block away or so.
That's kind of tough to find on Ohio State Cyclone.
Recording paused.
Bow and all that.
Mm-hmm. I know. We forgot to tell Pat.
I think Pat was well aware.
I wanted to challenge him. I was gone for weeks. Like, hey, he had I didn't get to green. Do St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, so
except out there. Okay, we're back in session, and the next item on the agenda is future funding for mental health and disability services. And what the discussion we have on this one. I was on. Why I was put on.
I wasn't. I think this is the same old thing, frankly. We're talking about the need for an ongoing, stable source of funding. And our fellow counties have asked us to, again, consider support for either the ISAC, I guess you'd call it the ISAC proposal or the Murphy Grant proposal. I don't know if that either of them has a name, but that's essentially where we're at.
What were the difference between the two? Do you remember?
Well, they are very, very similar. I think that the... The ISAC proposal just has more detail. Is really, I would say, otherwise they're exactly the same, except the ISAC proposal goes into greater detail about different things. Doesn't they get to the same place?
And where are we as far as where Senator Bolcom or anyone else? I mean, are we still at a point where the legislature seriously is not going to infill any longer?
Well, they decided that last year. There's not going to be any state money coming to the counties, but of course they took all the Medicaid. So,
right. So what I have, you know, what I got out of the last time we met was that, at least where I am, I can live with the regions exceeding the current spending monetary caps. I can live with the regions keeping the amount of 47.28 as a ceiling. I can live with the regions not to exceed 25% reserve. Really, the issue is, can we add additional things to the list? For instance, would they, of course, could they allow, not require, but allow MHDS regions the ability to establish a taxing authority. Similar to what we have with Kirkwood Community College, it would incorporate the existing property tax levies from counties to the region. You know, would they allow that? I would be even willing to take it even further if people wanted to and talk about even creating a percent limitation increase on counties. So, in other words, if they allow for us as a region to start tapping into counties that don't have a certain, or like ours, that are at $23, $24, if you want to take that out of our control, and should we put some protections for those residents? You know, maybe it's a 5%, 10%, no more than increase.
Annual?
Yeah. I mean, something of that. I mean, would that be a bargaining chip?
But the discussions I had with the legislators last week was the fact that brought that up about the taxing authority going with them, and then they fund it back to us, and they said that there's just no chance of that happening because they don't want their rules that they're following right now on additional taxation, and the state's not going to do it, but they're going to push it on us.
Well, no, that's fine, but then why are we even advocating for anything else if we can't do anything anyway? I mean, if
I'm just talking about if we're going to create a list of things to advocate for, why not create a list that that advocates for that as well? That's all I'm suggesting. And I would also include things like, you know, the language ought to allow regions to retain case management services for managed care Medicaid. You know, I mean.
Well, that's such a different issue. I don't think we'd ever want to tie that. I mean, that's.
Maybe that issue is a bit moot because it happened before anyway. I'm just trying to advocate for our targeted case management folks.
Yeah,
somehow.
But that's just going to be a totally different issue.
Maybe that's a totally different issue we fight for then. But you know, I'm always also worried about the other part of that, and that is, will the state, if they allow us to exceed our spending monetary caps, if they allow us to go, you know, and keep the 4728 as a ceiling, if they allow us to not exceed the 25%, will they just put more responsibilities of the state into our spending?
Well, I mean, obviously you can never predict what's going to happen in 5 years, let alone 2 years. But I think it's right now pretty cut and dried that they've got the Medicaid non-federal share. We have anybody that's not Medicaid eligible. Mm-hmm. There's no talk of any changing the core and core plus. I haven't heard any talk of it.
Maybe you all see the potential of what they could do.
They could do anything.
Yeah, right.
Really, I mean, they can.
So again, if we're just creating this wish list from either an ISAC proposal or an Urban County Coalition proposal, why not add things to our list to advocate for? It doesn't mean they're going to do any of these things. So that's all I'm suggesting.
I think the reason is that I think what Gary would tell you if he was here is you want to be focused on a single thing. You know, focused on it, try to get it done, and try to not get to bring too many other pieces in there. Mm-hmm. I think that's what he would argue.
Okay. So, what I'm trying to get away from is if the legislature doesn't want to live up to its expectations, and this is no longer a tax of a responsibility of the Board of Supervisors, why do we want to continue to make it so? That's all.
What's no longer a responsibility?
If we've pretty much given the regions the ability, if they have this, you know, if they have the spending authority, regions are going to make that decision.
I guess, I don't know. It's just, I'm just not as worried about the raising taxes thing, and I don't know. I mean, is there a way that we can get around that? I know nobody wants to.
Well, yeah. I mean,
say I raise taxes. But
well, yeah. The way you get around it.
How can we get around it?
Well, you'd get around it by saying that you would advocate for a yearly percent limitation increase on those counties that are below 4728.
I don't think there's any way to do that because the math doesn't. We don't know what the math would be. I mean, if you.
But the point is that it's an additional safeguard to taxpayers.
You
could do it.
Absolutely.
It's a safeguard to Johnson County taxpayers. Yes. It's not a safeguard to a Dubuque County taxpayer.
Understood.
Dubuque got a tax decrease by getting to 4728 already.
Right, but they would like to go to where
right,
we're all.
But this would allow for. I mean, you still have the 25% cap, but you still have the ability to not have such a potential jump, even with the 25% cap.
Well, they still can't go over the top, can they?
With all due respect to the people of Dubuque, yeah. I don't actually care what they think. I am paid to represent the people of Johnson County. It is my obligation to sit here and to try to deliver services for the most affordable rate to the people of Johnson County. I am not paid to care what Dubuque County thinks. And from my perspective, conceding our taxing authority to a region and having no caps on that and no limits on that, I will never, ever vote for something like that. I think that is a dereliction of duty. Our responsibility is the people of Johnson County, not Dubuque.
And if there isn't any caps on this and there isn't any limits on it, and some non-elected body not representing anyone in Johnson County makes the decision, then shame on us for letting it happen.
Well, we've let that happen.
They made it happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. All right, look, you know what?
I'm just not going to lobby.
Would you support
I didn't put this on the agenda. We've already decided this issue.
Yeah. Well, let's just get this over in like 1 minute. Can we just... Are there three people that want to support it or not?
No.
I will not support it without at least some limitation increase. So, I mean, can you all live with that? That's maybe ask the other question.
I am fine with the proposal that that
so
ISAC or whoever has. So I'm for it.
Well, Mike, you can be the swing
vote. I'm
going
to support ISAC's proposal.
Okay.
Of what?
I'm with Rod on this.
Okay. So you do have three votes.
I'm with the ISAC on this one. I just think we're to the point where we've got to do something, and I'd like to have a cap on it, but if I'm informed correctly, the limit on that is the highest it could go without some other type of change, a legislative or whatever.
So you're for giving taxing authority that could more than double taxes to the region?
We already did it.
It's limited by 435, right?
And lobbying that way. I mean, this is a lobbying position. That's different than they make you do it. This is willingly being willing to do it. You're willing to raise property taxes 20% because the region told you to do it.
No.
Or 18% or whatever it is.
Yes, you are. That's
if
that's
you say yes, you are.
Yeah.
We don't even know. We don't know what the percentage would
be. But that's the cap.
But it would be years away for one thing.
Well, that's
you can't guarantee that.
Well, you can't guarantee that it's 18%.
If you say yes, you're willing to give taxing authority to the region that would more than double our mental health levy right now,
no,
which would raise taxes about 15% in one year.
No.
But that's not true. It wouldn't do that.
You can't guarantee that.
But so
the cap
you can't
is,
guarantee it either. So how can you sit there and say that yours is a fact?
I can tell you what it says. It says no more than 48.25.
And no more than a 25% fund balance, which we have,
but
200%.
This gets back into where I was saying, where I get worried about is, will the state identify additional services that we're going to be required to do? If so, then your taxes are going to go a lot higher than that. That 25%, all of a sudden, that pie gets a much bigger.
Well, we're already higher than what.
Or you can put a cap right now on.
They could do a million things. I mean, we could lobby right now about the fact that they're going to take away our ability to bond for roads. We don't know that they're going to do it, but we could.
So you have a proposal from Mike saying, would three supervisors live with the ISAC proposal? You have me that's not. You have Janelle who's not. Mike is a yes. Can you two live with the ISAC's proposal?
We said yes.
Okay. Pat, you've got your three votes. All right. Now you can tell that to the Urban County Coalition.
And to the taxpayers when the bill comes due.
Yep. We all can. We don't always agree.
We're all going to have to
deal
with it the way we feel we need to deal with it.
Yep.
You know, the legislators that I talked to, they did support the fact that you know, probably better that they'd be the ones levying it, but they said that's not going to happen with the legislature we have now.
No, they want the county property tax dollars in the mix, and they don't want to take responsibility for it, but that's the world we're in.
Okay, state and federal legislative issues, including updated Urban County Coalition. Did Andy leave us anything, Mickey, on that?
Andy did send out the weekly update, so you should have gotten an email on that, I think, just in the last hour or two. It was sometime while we were sitting here, so you should have a newsletter that you can look at. I don't know what's in it, but.
Okay. Anything other? Discussion from the public?
What'd y'all agree to?
No, three supervisors agreed to the ISAC proposal.
Okay, and could you just fill me in on the ISAC proposal?
Would be.
Can you tell the public who he is? So.
Hi.
Need to come up to the mic, I guess.
So, Stephen, I'll read through the highlights real quickly here for you.
Okay.
So 4728, which was a number that we've been using for about a year, as a per capita figure, is still a per capita maximum. The state may look at a growth factor in future years. Each region calculates per capita based on the region's budget. Counties within the region levy the necessary per capita amount. Regions are capped at a fund balance of 25%. If you were to exceed the 25% without a plan for spending it down, you would your levy would be lowered automatically. The funding of services is what is existing now in terms of what's Medicaid and what's county. Let's see. I'm trying to skim through all this. That's basically it. Does that make sense?
Did I explain it enough, or do you need more? Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Anything other? I assume there's a UCC call tomorrow.
Yes. Okay. 10 o'clock.
All right. We'd be adjourned.
Chris and Jan, are we...